All right, good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday, May 15, 2019. Purpose of tonight's meeting is for the subject of potentially connecting to our case, meaning the grand jury filing concerning the judiciary, the out-of-control judiciary, and the out-of-control Congress. We've got a very unique way of way we're going to approach it, which we will reveal shortly in time. Again, we're still writing papers, and I'm hoping, this is May, I'm hoping to be able to file this in June. The earlier the better, of course, but timing is everything. It looks like we're really coming in at the perfect time considering what's going on. May 19th is coming up, and a lot of people are expecting a lot of big things to hit on May 19th. At least that's Q put something out on 19, and it's now being interpreted that that's when the big drop's going to happen. And that ends up to be on a Sunday. So, but anyway, we'll see what happens with that. Indictments are going to flow soon. And we do know that there's tens of thousands. I've heard as many as 90,000. I've heard 70,000. So I don't know how many indictments that have been sealed. There's a lot of other indictments that have already been opened, you know, that people have been arrested and being tried, but they're not big fish. So anyway, our timing for our case, I think, is perfect. Anybody who wants to join our action, it's called a joinder, J-O-I-N-D-E-R, which is to join a case. And we have a form to be filled out, anybody who wants to join. In any event, in order to get instructions, you know, we've been trying for a long time to try to get the necessary funding to run the operation we're running. And we run on a shoestring operation. We live off the widow's mite, so to speak. And, you know, month by month, we just make it. And we could do a lot more if we had money. But we're doing what has to be done. So we are getting that done. And eventually, even though we start to fall behind in bills, eventually somebody gives us a little piece here more than others would give. And it picks us back up and, you know, brings us back into the black again. More often than not, we've been running in the red. But we're going to have to spend a lot of money, a lot more money than I thought. I have a feeling it's going to run probably 1,000 pages, the case we're filing. Probably a lot more than 1,000, but I'll say 1,000 for the initial filing. And those have to be served on numerous people. We have to serve it on the United States Supreme Court. We have to serve it on the Judiciary Committee for the House and the Judiciary Committee for the Senate. We have to serve it on two, or copy, shall I say, mostly, also with writ mandamus commanding the Attorney General to obey the law and exercise the indictments that we are going to post up on our case. And so we have to send a copy to a bar. We have to send a copy to the President of the United States. And we also are planning on sending hard copies to certain individuals. Hopefully we'll be able to send a lot of electronic copies to many other people. You know, there's people on the internet that are doing the YouTubing and stuff. They have big following, some of these people. Some people have 100,000, some people have 40,000. And these are the people very interested in hearing the news, what's going on, trying to figure out what they can do, blah, 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 blah. So we need to get our word out to those people. So we definitely have to get a copy of our case to those individuals, and we'll probably do something with electronic exchange for that. We're going to send a hard copy of our case to We the People, Robert Schultz. He's got a decent following. Those people are reasonably very active, and this will empower them. We also are going to send a hard copy to the Judiciary Watch. I think maybe we'll get some support from them, and not necessarily financial support, but backing, you know, to, hey, lift this paper up, let's get this out there. During this time period, we're hoping to move to a critical mass. We've got let me give you exactly, we've got 7,355 members at this point. Critical mass should bring us to double that pretty quickly. There's other organizations that we will got to list out, and we'll send hard copies of the case to them. We're considering maybe sending a hard copy of the case to possibly Sean Hannity. I think around the time that we're going to be doing this, there's going to be explosive, so our paperwork might be something that he might consider to see if it's real or not, and if it's got merit. And of course, if he looks into us, I believe he should come to the understanding and agree that, hey, we've got a lot of merit here. We're the people. We're here to take the nation back. And again, there's others. So each one of these hard copies is going to be over 1,000 pages long. And again, it's going to be real easy to send a copy electronically to anyone. We will make a place where we already have our paperwork, but we'll make a place where people can download a hard copy. We may have to break it up in pieces, possibly, because it's pretty large, but maybe not. No, as a matter of fact, we don't. We don't have to. We can put it up on our website. We can download pretty much any size. So you can download it right off of our page, get an electronic copy, and people can run copies off of our case and give it to others that they think might be advantageous to get the word out, or lead people to the link where they can download their own hard copy of this case. Okay, so this case is going to enjoin, a lot of people can enjoin to this case. And the more people we can get to enjoin, that's more evidence for our position and what we're dealing with, especially the habeas corpuses that have been ignored, especially the non-judicial foreclosures that have been ignored. And there's many other cases. We did a lot of CPS stuff and family court stuff, and we filed papers on behalf of those people too. And we haven't done much of that lately, but we did do that for a while. So we've got some of those cases that have been ignored. It's time now to bring those cases to the surface. This is going to be, the drawing of the line, okay? So we're here to discuss, ultimately, we're joining our case. So maybe we'll start off for a little while with some questions and see where we go. But first, let me go to tell you how to join your case. Now, because we do not have, since the very beginning, we made the decision not to charge for anything. Freely we have given, freely we want to give back. As we grew, we run into problems because it becomes more and more expensive. And so we have overhead. And so, we've been supported by people who have been giving us $5 a month or more. There are some people that give more. We got one or two people who have given very considerable amounts over the years. And then recently we have a big donor that's giving us a nice chunk of money every month. And that's really a good shot in the arm for what we're doing. And so if we can get half of our membership, heck, if we can get a third of our membership, let's say we can get 2,000 of our members to donate $5 a month or more, that's $10,000 a month. That's a lot of money for what we do. We don't have lawyers here. There's nobody getting fat here, Shirley, and nobody will ever get fat here. But we would never pay the lawyers' bills and that they would charge to do what we do. But the people who are involved, at some point we will have to turn to paying people because we will have people working full-time. But that probably won't happen until there are very few of us that work full-time right now, and we're all volunteers. We will get to a point where we need secretaries. We'll need a couple of people really working the paperwork and in the political realm, and also a couple of people working the paperwork in the judicial realm and working things out across the nation, working with grassroots people, particularly the individuals working as administrators in each of the counties. We're going to need 4 administrators in every county that will run the orientation of the grand and trial juries. They'll be the investigative body for the grand juries. They are a paid position, and we have numerous ways to be able to achieve funding from the state once we start to take up certain authorities. The state is required to fund the necessary activities and work of individuals who are working to orientate the grand jury and other things. But so that funding, we already have a plan on how we're going to get, and we will get that as soon as we get into the courts and take control. What people need to really understand, okay, in this nation, we have law and we have equity. Both is in the Constitution. Equity is a necessity because equity is really statutory courts, and it is a necessity because we have, 54 U.S. titles, and each one of those U.S. titles, have their own focus of law, okay? For instance, USC 28 is generally the rules and procedures of the court that all of the other jurisdictions have to obey. So every jurisdiction, there's a title to run that jurisdiction. So there's bare minimum, there's 53 jurisdictions, generally speaking, because there are 54 U.S. titles. But one of those titles, again, is the rules and procedures of the court. We should know the rules of the court, at least generically and generally. We can ignore most of the rules because they don't apply to the law. That's for equity courts and equity courts only. USC 28, ultimately, if you look through the jurisdiction, you'll find law is not listed under there. So they don't have the jurisdiction of law. They have the jurisdiction of equity. But that doesn't mean we can't use the rules, or some of their rules make sense, and we should exercise them. But we can use their rules against them. We can quote necessary titles, different laws within different titles that control a particular group, maybe the judiciary or the Congress or the president or whatever. They all are controlled by law, kind of the policies and procedures. It's administrative court through equity. And so those courts, all those things are a necessity, and they all have their own jurisdiction. When it comes to the business of the people, when it comes to what's called the court of record, and in every federal district, there will be a court of record. That's what this law says. They have established a court of record in every federal district. There are 94 federal districts. So there are 94 law courts or courts of record. Courts of record are courts run by the people and not by any judge. The tribunal are we the people. That would be the individuals who are the jury, those 12 individuals. Now, they have been captured and seized control of. We have to break those strings and get rid of that control. They have set judges inside of our courts of law who have taken control of our juries. They have set U.S. attorneys to control our grand juries, and they've hidden our grand juries from us. And they've hidden access from our grand juries. They've hidden our courts of law. They've expunged them. That's what our lawsuit is all about, to reveal that that conspiracy and deal with it. And we're going to be doing a lot of indictments underneath that. But in any event, there's not supposed to be a judge inside of a court of law. Again, a court of law, which is a court of record. Court of law and a court of record is synonymous. A court of record or a court of law runs according by the will of the people. The tribunal is the people. The only paid paid individual that may be elected or appointed to be able to come into a court of record and participate is what's called a magistrate. Now, the magistrate has no power or authority to make any decision whatsoever. He is the administrator of the court. If the court has a question, the jury has a question, they can ask him. But generally speaking, most jury questions should be sent to the individuals we're going to have, with the administrators of the juries. But that individual is there to make sure that the record is kept, that everything is recorded, written, that whatever orders the court puts down, that they are to seal it and sign it and execute it by passing it on to the Justice Department for execution for whatever it is it's going to do. But that is it. That is the to swear in the jury, to swear in the grand juries, and to swear in the trial juries. Other than that, they have nothing else to do. But they have stuck their fingers into everything, and they have controlled everything. We the people need to understand this and take this back. Some people may find this hard to believe or hard to agree with what I'm saying. Well, that's because of ignorance. I was ignorant one day, and I decided I no longer wanted to be ignorant. I understand these things now. And many of the people with National Liberty Alliance are beginning to understand these things. And if you don't understand these things, you need to get educated and see these things for yourself. It's in history. It's in records. It's in Supreme Court rulings. It's in the law. These things are the absolutes. But the people don't know this, and that's why they've taken control. We consent to the government. When a government goes out after one of their own, okay, under U.S. titles, means, there's a U.S. title for every agency or every political to control a political type of a group. For instance, there's law to control Congress. There's law to control Congress and the Senate. There's law to control the President of the United States and the authorities and the extending of his powers within the limitation of the law that we put down in the Constitution. They cannot go beyond the power and the authority we've given them. So we have laid out the law, the rules and the criteria, the boundaries of their power, and they are to exercise, Congress is supposed to exercise that with their legislation. And they have legislated. Like I said, there are 54 U.S. titles. I kind of keep forgetting whether it's 54 or 57. Let me take a second to open up a file and see exactly how many there are. Make sure I get this number right. If I can get my computer to work here. Oh, here it goes. Okay, under law. Okay, so I was on right. I was right. 54. So every agency, the FBI, for instance, they have rules and regulations. There's codes and statutes written to control them. That's under one of the U.S. titles. The power and the authority for the government to do certain things. You'll find rules and regulations, which is called codes and statutes or regulations, inside one of these titles. So they're all lawful. And we do need lawyers, people who are trained in those areas. Usually an individual might be trained in only one of the U.S. titles. There's some individuals trained in more than one. They all need to be trained in USC 28 because those are the rules and the procedures of the court. USC 18 deals with the law of the sea, maritime law. The jurisdiction is maritime. It's out at sea. You will find a penal code in USC 18. That does not apply to we the people. They can't say you can't have a weapon in USC 18 and apply that to the people. They can apply that on board a ship or something or different places, however they would work that out. It's all written in their laws how that works, but it has nothing to do with us. We did not give them power or authority to decide our behavior. That's our job. And we have courts of law that controls our behavior. So we're under law. The law of the land, which is both all of these laws, but also the law. And so we're under the law, which ultimately is the law of God. It's the law of nature's God. God tells us in the Bible that his laws are written in the hearts of men. We all know the law. Nobody doesn't know the law. Everybody knows it. You can't kill. You can't steal. I mean, generally speaking, that's basically it. The law of God goes further, and he has statutes too. But his statutes he will not allow man to enforce. He'll enforce that in his own due time when he pleases. And that's the statutes of God. But then there's the law of God, which he does give to man to exercise. You cannot kill. As a matter of fact, God says if you kill, not kill, but murder, with intent to murder, Okay, and there are different degrees of murder. It could be manslaughter. But when someone is murdered, cold-blooded murder, God already tells us the penalty. Penalty of that is death. Okay, that's the penalty for murder. You take a life, you lose your own, you forfeit it. You steal a man's ox, you got to give him back four. Okay, and there's a lot of rules in the Bible that we can take, and of course the ox is an idea of stealing a man's money or whatever. And there are certain places where you can get more than that. The Supreme Court has sealed 10 times. Okay, that's been kind of the rule they've been running under, although they really don't run under any of those rules, but they claim to run under those rules. But we need to kick out and get rid of anyone that is in the court that tries to take control over the people. The people have to be educated enough to take care of their own business. And it is for someone to come into a court of law to sit as a grand jurist or to sit as a trial jurist. They don't really need an education. It would be very helpful if they had an education. If they don't have someone with an education keeping an eye on what's going on, such as the administrators, if the administrators must have an education. You cannot be an administrator without an education. When those places open, if people are running through the courses and doing their things, preparing to get their knowledge, they can fill those positions and start exercising and working, exercising their authorities and working and getting paid for those positions as they continue their education. But then at some point when we fill all those positions, we're going to require people to have their education before they start. But this is the beginning of things, and we don't have enough people educated yet to take control of these things. But we do have a handbook coming out, and we have a tremendous amount of education on our website, and I'm going to talk about getting to that in a minute, and then we're going to get into the topic for the night. So people can get educated here. But the key thing, a person doesn't have to have any education at all whatsoever to know right from wrong. Again, God wrote it into the hearts of men. We're out there living with each other day in and day out. We see good people. We see bad people. We see maybe a situation, someone goes to court and the judge throws the book at them, and we say, whoa, that's way too much. That's not right. That's too much. That person doesn't deserve that. Okay? Or maybe they put out something and it's too little, you know. Well, that's not enough. No, that person should have got this or that. See, this is for the people to decide. And they rule this off the hearts. Because at the end of the day, when you see the person's guilty or not, but let's say you see them guilty, at the end of the day, you have to sit as a trial jury to decide, well, we're going to give this person mercy or not. And it may be not. It may be that gross, that terrible, that horrific. No, we ain't giving this guy no mercy. We'll send him to God, let him deal with him, and he gets executed. So the people decide, and jail is not the solution. If someone is incarcerated in some way, there has to be a program of education, not something that you don't put people into solitary confinement and throw them in with hardened criminals and especially people who aren't hardened criminals, and so on. You know, we have to work this out. We have to prepare these people to get back into society. If someone stole something from someone, well, there's a penalty. They have to give the money. They have to restore that individual. Whatever the jury decides, they have to restore that individual. And until that individual is restored, it stands to reason that they've lost some of their unalienable rights. Okay. But that doesn't mean we need to put them in jail. If the individual is someone that is going to flee, and we're sure of that, or well, we tried to do it and they did try to flee, you know, we don't have to put them in prison. We could put a ring on their foot, and we'll know exactly where they're at all times. If necessary, they can go to jail to sleep. But I don't think that's necessary. That, I think, would be rare cases. The point is jail's not the solution. The Bible does not talk about jail. Well, it's clear cut what penalties are and what has to happen, you know. So we need to go back to the principles of law that was set up. We either have that law or we don't. If you don't want that law, then you want man to decide on what the penalties are and what then that's a whole different world. And that decision is going to be made soon. You are going to make that decision. Every individual in the United States ultimately is going to make that decision sooner or later. either we are going to get enough people educated and serious about what we're doing and pursue the necessary knowledge they need and whatever positions they might think that they can take on, and maybe just getting educated and responding to becoming a jurist when you're called. And everyone should consider at least once in their lifetime to be a committee man. It's a two-year position. It's only 40 hours a year for 2 years, so it's 40 hours each year. Very rewarding job because you get to decide who gets on the ballot. That's what the committee men do. They get to vote and to decide who. They get to question these people. It's like Congress coming together, but it's the people who really are serious about it, not these clowns that are stealing us blind. In any event, you get to decide. You get to interview these people. You get to ask questions about the Constitution. If you don't know the Constitution, how can you ask them questions about the Constitution? If they don't know what the authority is and the powers are, and we don't know what the authority is and the powers are, and we put them on a ticket to run, and they win that position, who's watching them? What's going on? What control? We don't have government by consent then. We have government by consent when we control these individuals. We make it clear to them. We know what the power and authorities are. That's what we're teaching here. I promise you, anybody that follows the plan that we've got laid out here, I promise you, you will know all these things. And you will also understand and know the powers and the authorities of every elective offices. And there's not that many. I mean, generally speaking, in Washington, there's a representative. We need to understand their power and authority. We should know the power and the authority of the Senate, but that really is controlled by the states. We need to push that back, get rid of the 17th Amendment, which stole that away and destroyed the balance of power in the Constitution. We must return that back. We have to, because the states at this point are no longer sovereign. They have no say. And our courses will teach you all this stuff, okay? And it's a matter of just spending time reading and answering the questions and getting the book and referring to it as a reference book. Everybody should know how to get into a court, take care of their own business. We teach that too. We got it all of it, right now on our website. So we the people need to take this control. That's consent on both political and judicial side of things. What we have done, because we need money and we don't want to require people to pay money for the education that we want to give them. But a lot of work and time has gone into the building and constructing the writing of all these things. Everything we're sharing, we had a lot of stuff that we wrote, okay? Thousands of pages of stuff over the years that we've written concerning political power and authority and also the judicial power and authority. Maybe not thousands, definitely many hundreds, okay? And we have a lot of information. We show the sources of everything. You don't have to believe anything we say. You look at our footnotes and you'll find the source. Everything we say and everything we conclude, we always put footnotes so you can go check it out yourself. That's good, solid work. That's what you need. Everybody needs to check things out. Okay? So anyway, we've got all that stuff. Now, these positions that we're looking to fill as administrators, people who have signed up for that, you know who you are. You need to either resign that position or go finish these courses and get involved because the time is coming up. And we haven't got much time. This could be a couple of months away, and we'll be looking for administrators. So people need to get serious here and buckle down and get educated if they want these jobs. On the other side of things, just people in general need to get educated. We have a plan to educate our children in the schools. We're going to work right after the book is out. We're going to take that book and turn it into textbooks for schools. And we're going to get an education, a serious education. We know we have a serious education. We don't have any BS education that people have given on the Constitution, which is pablum, milk. No, we got the meat. We got the pablum, we got the milk, and we got the meat. And the people need the meat. Our children need the meat. They need to be strong, and you can't be strong if you're not eating meat. You need some vegetables, too, and some potatoes and some fruits and so on, you know. But you need the meat. And so we want to get that meat into the schools. We want to get the meat into the individuals, you know, that are waking up. They need to get involved. Everyone needs to get involved here. Okay? We will help people. We have helped a lot of people. We've given a lot of information. We've spent a lot of time on Monday night programs to people who have come into our programs They've asked a lot of questions. They've asked for help. They've gone through this. Maybe we wrote papers for them and did different things and so on and so forth. And when they get their stuff and they're done, they walk away. They've given us nothing back. You know, freely you've been given, freely you should give back. But they have not given anything back. We're changing on that. If you want help, you have to be willing to help others. If you're not the kind of person that's willing to help others, then you don't deserve our help. So we're not going to give it to you anymore. So in order to get the meat of what we have, okay, we've got so much stuff on our website and probably a good deal. Certain things you can't get on a website, but there are a lot of things we'll have in our private area that you could find on our website. But we've collected it all in one place, okay, to give true knowledge. So anybody who wants to enjoin their case, anybody who wants to get a good, serious education, we're only asking for a donation of $5 a month or more. Show me the person who cannot pay $5 a month or more at this time. Show me that person. We will give them free access. We've charged, we required for our last course that went up, which is the consent course, government by consent course. We're requiring people to become a premium member, a supporting member, $5 a month or more. That's one cup of coffee and maybe a bagel or a roll or something, maybe a donut or whatever, a month. Give that up, just one a month. Goodness, so we waste a lot of money on our own kids. How often do we go around and spend $200, $300, $400 for some stupid game that we give to our kids? It's not doing any good for them anyway. Paying $1,000 for a phone, that's insane. That's insane. I don't care what you tell me. It's insane. You know, all it does is it trains people to become connected to the electronic thing, and everything is tweets. And they don't read books no more. They don't sit down in coffee shops to have conversations. They sit down in coffee shops to push buttons on a stupid computer, tweeting. Forgive my speech, tweeting bullshit. But, you know, hey, it could be a little fun, but we shouldn't be spending so much time. Let's read a book. Let's find out who we are as a people. Let's look into our history. Let's understand what our founding fathers have given their lives for. The miracle that took place in 1776 and 1789 and 1791, the miracles that took place, everything at the right time, together. These people, all the necessary players came together at the right time. And we're here again today, okay? If you would have told me 3 years ago that we were going to be where we are today, that people were going to be arrested, and I'll tell you, Obama's going to be arrested. I think he's going to get the death penalty. You look at it, if he's arrested and he faces the law requires that. Nothing else to talk about. Hillary Clinton, all the Clintons, all these people that are involved in this deep state, you know, the law has a requirement, and if we're going to arrest them and we're going to try them, then we have to give the proper penalty. And it's going to be hard for people to chew and see. They're already preparing, trying to get a war going, but I don't want to get into that discussion. You know, they got a war of words, which can cause an uprising with all of these people who are totally uneducated. I haven't got a clue on what's going on. They believe it's with people are decent people or good people, and they don't know that they're being schnookered. They don't know that these people have been leading them into really captivity, definitely not leading them to liberty. We're leading people to liberty. But if you would have told me that we would have a president, like even when Trump was elected, I didn't think he'd go as far as he went. I was hoping for a president who would go as far, who was capable and survive. You know, he survived it 2 years, and he's surviving. I don't know if people know, there's been more than 10 attempts on the president of the United States, and news isn't recording that. But anyone following what's really going on for the last couple of years, they know about it. So we're at a point where there's a miracle taking place. You know, we have a man at the helm that has the ability, the authority, the power, the position, to be able to do what he's doing and take down the deep state. And he's not alone, of course. There's lots of people behind him. The military's behind him. And anybody knows the story about this, the military really helped to get president elected. of course, not by any legal ways, but they were encouraging and pushing. They were looking for someone. Otherwise, they were going to pull a coup themselves. I don't know if people will know this. There were generals who were going to pull a coup in this country, but they, for the good of the people. But they did not know how the people would react to that. And so they didn't want it. They've held off. And then they had Trump. And they took, and here we are, and we don't need to worry about anything to do it illegally, because that would have been, I don't know what you just say it was, would have been done illegally. Yeah, we're getting back to it, Terry. I don't know if people can say that, you know, that it was illegal, because it was a necessity. But nevertheless, we did it the lawful way. We did it the right way. Trump did it the perfect way. We need to do what we got to do. Now we got to do our part. Okay, now I'm going through all this because I want to encourage people to know and understand that it's not just we're helping them with their case and they're connecting to us to leverage off our power and authority that we believe that we will have at the time. It's not just that. It's more than that. You need to give a little of yourself to other people. There are people in jail. We need to get out of jail who do not belong in jail. Look what took place out west with the Bundys. Okay, out in Oregon, okay, and those people beat it, okay, but there were a few people that took a deal, and they're in jail for years, a long time. They're in jail right now. How come they haven't been free? Everybody was, it was found innocent. How do these people continue to stay in jail? We need to get them out. We can get them out, okay. We need some people to do some research to get the names and the situations and the stories about these people to bring it to us so that we can go to the president and talk to him about a pardon, by paper, of course. You know, he needs to pardon these people. We need to push the courts to release these people. The grand jury can do that. But first we have to get power and authority. So it's not just about your case, and that's why I'm going through all this. I want people to understand that this is more than about your case. This is an education. We're going to give you an education for $5 a month. That's $60 a year. $60 a year. You can't afford $60. And we don't want people to give us $60 in one shot. Some people have done that. That's okay, fine. But we don't really want that. We want it to come in a little at a time because every month we have bills. So we like that $5 a month. And we should suspect that it's going to, you know, once you get past the first year and you got a good education and you think, well, we don't need to really get much more. You know, we can read things and keep up to date. And, you know, we hope that they don't pull their $5 away from us, that they maybe throw it up to 10 because they see the work we're doing. There's other people that need to be educated. We need to be here for that. And so, you know, this is about people educating themselves, taking control of their government, government by consent, controlling the judicial process, controlling the political process, and we control everything. The power to indict or not. The power to recall. Okay, we don't like what a politician is doing. We can recall them. People don't even know that. And they're not organized enough to be able to recall them. Take control of the committee man process. Now you're organized. That committee man process will lay the groundwork, working with the administrators to educate the committee men, which changes every 2 years, so we're educating the people over and over and over, more and more people, getting out into our communities, pressing an education among the people within our election districts, and getting into our schools and then getting certain curriculums into our schools and the control of our education back to the people in the grassroots, and get a good civics and constitutional course in there that we put together, we the people, which is real powerful and shows the children not what to think, but how to think, to show them how this country became the way it was and how we are and what common law is and how that came about. You need to know the history of that. And then you need to understand how it works. And you need to be able to look at the sources to give the facts. We can give you the facts, but you don't know if they're true facts without us giving you the source. We give the source all the time. Nobody that I know of out there is doing what we're doing. Nobody. And combining full power, full consent of we the people. That's worthy of your $5 a month. Okay? And it's worthy of you getting an education and helping your next door neighbor, helping the other guy. We don't want people to come in here and bring their cases in and sit and wait to get the fruits of the benefit that may come about of that and then take a hike. No, come out and help the people. We're helping you. You help other people. We're not asking you to help us directly, but we are asking you to support us so we can continue to help other people. And that's what's necessary and requirement. Okay, so anybody that wants to connect their case, the instructions to join our case, to the grand, your case, to the grand jury's action against the judiciary and others, okay, is on the website. Now, a few people have downloaded, and I saw one or two pages come in. You know, we've updated that paper, so you're going to have to do it all over again. And it's not a lot of information. It's very minimal. But in order to get to those instructions, you got to go to the blue bar, highlight the blue bar on due process. Click on due process. When you click on due process, read the page very carefully, come down to the bottom, then you click here to enter abuse of due process. Now, if you are not a member, a premier member of giving $5 a month or more, you're going to be denied access. In order to get that access, you have to make sure you're a member, number one. And if you're not a member, you will see that due process page. If you're not a member, you won't see our members column. That's not on the blue bar if you're not signed in. So you have to be signed in to see everything. So that you need to be signed in as a member. It's free to see what's in the member area. But the due process, you not only have to be a member, you have to be a premium member, $5 a month or more. That's what it's going to cost you for your education, an education you can't get in any college. I promise you, what we're teaching, you cannot get it in any college. No college will dare to teach what we're teaching you. They're incapable of teaching it, you know? We're ruled by the minions of the New World Order, which are lawyers, and they control all of everything, okay? And people know nothing. They know nothing, okay? So we're teaching, no, you can't get the education we're giving. So you have to spend your $5 a month and supporting us, and you've got to believe we're doing a good work here, and it's worthy of your $5 a month. You know, I mean, some people say, you know, give up your kid's toy or something, you know, these stupid games or something, they get too much anyway. Take some of that money and give it to us, you know. We're not asking for that, but there are places they'll charge you $100-$200 to get in to become a member in order to get to their, the information on the inside of their website, which has no power, nowhere near the power and authority that we're giving with our knowledge. So anyway, you got to click on that. You got to become a member. Become a supporting member by donating $5 a month or more. Information is on that page. Click on due process. And then whatever you want. We'll be adding other things. The first item we have up on our page is instructions to join your case to the grand jury action against the judiciary. Click on that, and you'll have some instructions and a small short form to fill out. You get it in to Jim. And then at that point, we'll be working with you to get your paperwork. We'll go through a process, okay? The other thing we have, which, of course, you can go in straight on our blue bar, the free course, but you can click on Access to NLA's Consent of Government course. And also, we just for convenience, we put another link here, which is Access to NLA's Civics course. Now, the next item under that is instructions and forms to challenge jurisdiction. Okay, any case and anybody who's going to bring their case to join with ours needs to challenge the jurisdiction. Now, remember this, and this is very, very important. The Supreme Court has made this clear. The common law has made it clear. You know, for every injury in common law, for every injury, there must be a remedy. If you've been abused by a court and you've been sentenced by a court, you've lost your home, you've lost your income, you lost your liberty, whatever, 20 years later, and all of a sudden you have an epiphany and realize that court did not have the authority to do to me what it did. It was a wrongdoing. I have been injured. You can then go challenge the jurisdiction of that court 20 years ago, a year ago, or the court you're in right now at any part of your case, any part. The moment you challenge jurisdiction, that court case stops. It cannot go any further until jurisdiction is proven. Now, we have a lot to speak about on jurisdiction, which we're not going to talk about tonight, but everything you need to know is right here. We not only give you the instructions, we give you the forms to file in your court to challenge jurisdiction. Plus, we're available if you have any questions. Working with the forms, you could talk to Jim. Or any questions on how things work or working with the forms, you can ask us on a Monday night program. Those are good questions to ask, okay? But we have the notice of motion. We have all the instructions. We have the filing on demand paper. We have the challenging of the jurisdiction paper, all written out. Affidavit of default, affidavit of service, all of these forms in one place with the instructions to challenge jurisdiction. Everybody who wants to join their case to ours needs to challenge the jurisdiction. Shut that case down and challenge the jurisdiction, and we will also at the same time be informing them that their case has been removed from them and brought into this case. Okay? This is very important to understand. If anybody's missing this, you can ask me questions when we open up in a few minutes for questions, or you can ask me on a Monday night. Or you can come back and listen to this recording. It'll be up on our Monday, where we post all of our Monday night program up there. You'll find it up there also. The next thing we have is instructions and forms to move your case for cause. Now, most of it is written, but it's not ready yet, so it's not up there. I believe before this coming Monday, I will have that done. I worked on, since the last Monday's meeting, instructions and forms to file a habeas corpus, okay? So we have that. That's the next thing we have up there. You want to file a habeas corpus? We give you all the instructions and every form necessary. We lay out any instructions, the process, the procedure, and how things should work. And if they your habeas corpus, if they do not respond to your habeas corpus, you bring that to us, and we will add an indictment to that judge. We'll write a little letter. We'll send a copy of the case. We'll let them know what's going on. And listen, you got 20 days to, or 10 days or whatever we give them. You got 20 days to act on this. And if you don't act on this, we have decided as the grand jury to indict you. 20 days and counting. You do what you want, judge. So we will help the people to enforce those habeas corpuses. But we want to empower people to write their own habeas corpus. Okay? And everybody should know how to write a habeas corpus. Anybody who is in liberty groups and is in jeopardy for something, what they're doing, you should have a pre-written habeas corpus already. You should have a partner, one who will act as a next friend should you end up in prison and vice versa. Okay? And so you should have your habeas corpus generically written. We've already got it here. It's generically written. All you got to do is put the names, the addresses, and the courts. There's not much more to do to it. And add an affidavit. That's it. All that information right there, everything you need to teach you. Now we have downloads. Okay, we have downloads. We have civil procedure in here. Now we've got this on our website and other places, but I wanted to put these things over here in one place where people can get it all, because we want to give you a really good education. Not just a way to fill out these forms and the process of going through this and not only joining your case. We want you to understand the civil procedures. We're going to write a paper on that. Civil procedures. Right now it's a civil procedures. But the most important thing is that to follow the certain rules that they have is a good idea. To follow other rules, not a good idea. We'll get more information on that is a little later on. Matter of fact, we're going to be covering that in the book. And when we put all that information together, we'll put another paper up here for the civil procedures, you know, our thoughts, how we understand what we think, and you do what you want. Now we have Maxims of Law by Sir Edward Coke. Bouvier's Maxim of Law, The Lawful Path. Okay, we have three dictionaries, Bouvier's Law, 1856. We have Black's Law, 2nd edition, Black's Law, 4th edition. All PDFs, download, use them. You can search through that. You can do word search, phrase searches, pull things together. Okay, now one of the other items is Court Procedure Book. This is a book I wrote a while ago, maybe 2 years ago. I don't remember. It was a little while ago. Maybe more, maybe 3 years. But I wrote this book and on how to access the court. A lot of other forms and information, the anatomy of a court case, okay, what papers, what forms are required to file, in what order, everything is in this book. Now, the book was written some years ago, and I'm thinking now it's probably about 4 or 5 years ago I wrote this book. It's a while ago. In any event, I need to update that. But it's still solid. Anything in there is solid and you can use it, but I'd like to tweak it, and I will eventually tweak it after we get the course completed and the book done. Then I'm going to go and tweak that. So that's an important book. It's like almost 200 pages. I think it's 189 pages in a PDF. Okay, download that, and you got it, and study it, read it, go through it. It gives you the general idea. Anybody who goes through that book very carefully and slowly, you'll understand the process, and you can take a few notes or you know, make a few marks on a few pages at this page if I wanted to file an action, or if I had to respond to an action, or if they were to take some kind of criminal case against me. You know, all that information is in here in this book. Okay, how to work that out, how to deal with it. You need to be educated. If you're in the courts and you have a problem and you trust in a lawyer, plan on losing. Plan on losing everything. Lawyer will take your money. You'd be better off going in there dumb and not saying anything. You'd probably get a better shake. Okay, your lawyer certainly is not going to win your case against these people. Later on, when we get to the other side, I think it'll be a whole different story because we'll put these people in jail if they continue to defraud the people, all right? So all of those things are available there, downloads, okay, all PDFs. Now, memorandums, okay, we have that over in one of our other places under grand jury on the case we're filing, but we'll put in here memorandums, again, for convenience sake, a memorandum on sovereignty, a memorandum on jury nullification, jury tampering and stacking, memorandum on high treason, memorandum on habeas corpus. If you're going to follow habeas corpus, go read that habeas corpus memorandum. Give you a lot of insight and understanding and knowledge. And if you're the guy in the court, you'll have a lot of knowledge to be able to deal with that judge. And you need to understand what's going on when they're coming out against you, okay? We have a memorandum on the 10th Amendment, the 2nd Amendment, the 13th Amendment, Article 3 courts, courts of record, abortion, acts of treason, nonjudicial foreclosures, natural versus civil rights. Oh, USC 8, Title 18 is no law at all. People are in jail because they've been arrested for drugs or having a gun or something, and the feds come in and arrest you. They had no power, and they did this under the authority of Title 18, and that's the law of the sea. Challenge jurisdiction. They have to go into USC 18, where it tells you where the jurisdiction is, and pull it out and say, whoa, we don't have jurisdiction on the people. How come lawyers don't know this? How come lawyers don't do anything about this? That's because they've been brainwashed and they don't read themselves, and those few that find it are brought into the room and told, hey, look, you better behave you in my courtroom. Don't bring any of that nonsense in here because I'm going to take your license away. I'm going to fine you in contempt, and I'm going to take your money. I'm going to put you in jail for a while. They don't have to say all those things. Lawyer already knows it when he gets called in to deal with the gorilla, okay? When you go into the gorilla's courtroom, give him his banana. Okay, that's the first thing I was taught in law by some lawyer where I was learning through the, what is it, I forget the name of the course. It's available through us. It's a pretty good course. But there's a lot of BS in there, too. And you got to clean yourself up by going through our stuff. You'll clean yourself up and know what things you want to ignore. And one of the things you want to ignore is I'm not giving no gorilla any banana. I'll give the monkey what he needs to get. And I got to think of what I would give him. But in any event, he ain't no gorilla to me. He's a gorilla to the lawyers because he'll rip him apart and put him in jail. But I'm coming in my own person. I am not a bar attorney. He can't take my license away. I don't have one. I don't need one. And you see, you cannot practice law, okay, in court, in equity courts, if you're going to represent someone who is under one of these USC titles. You cannot practice law. They won't let you practice law, that law, equity, without having that little bar paper or whatever. But you sure as heck can practice law in a court of law. It's the law of the heart, God's court. It's your court. It's the people's court. We rule, not them. It has nothing to do with any kind of a statute or a code or a regulation. We're bound by none of it. We are bound by the statutes and codes and regulation and laws of God. You can ignore you can ignore his statutes. You can ignore his regulations. But it's all at your own expense because at some point you're going to have to pay the toll, okay? Either be a decent individual and obedient to God and obedient to those who you need to be obedient to and be a good person and so on and so forth, because that's what requires the two main laws of the Bible. The two laws you have to follow, all laws fall under this. Love God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's law number one. Law number two, Jesus said, is like unto the first. Love your neighbor as you would love yourself for the love of God. It's the loving your neighbor and loving God. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to hurt him. You're not going to break the law. If you love God, you're not going to break the statutes. You know, statutes ultimately are dealing with morality, okay? And some things that are immoral is breaking a law, which you could, you know, have to pay the toll for in court. But a lot of the morality is just between you and God and maybe some other individual you might be exercising that with. There's lots of things. You've been in the world long enough. Everybody knows what needs to be done, what's right and wrong. Now, here's a biggie. This is a lot of work that I put together over the years. When I first started writing papers years ago, trying to think when I started writing my first papers in the court, maybe 8-9 years ago, I don't remember. I was doing the committee man thing before National Liberty Alliance came. National Liberty Alliance was 2013. So I guess I started doing this maybe 2012. That's about when, maybe even 2011. Whenever I came to a word or a phrase or something, okay, that I didn't know what it was, or something about a law, something about a jurisdiction, what is jurisdiction, something about, well, let me open my thing and I'll just run a list of different things. Now, this is extremely important for anyone that's looking to understand the law. And again, this is not boring stuff. This is really, you know, fascinating, interesting stuff. But let me open up my footnotes. Boy, my computer's running awfully slow tonight. There it is. Okay. Abatement. What is abatement? If you don't know what abatement is, that's an important legal term. You better know. You need to know. You're going to go into court. You need to know what abatement is. You need to know whether anybody has absolute immunity. Who has absolute immunity? The only one that has absolute immunity is we the people. We are immune to everything. Any statute, any of the equity things, we're immune to all of it. We don't have to obey any of it, okay? The only thing we have to obey is the law, nature's God, the laws of nature's God. That's the only thing we have to obey. Don't kill, don't hurt, don't injure. Now, under common law, the common law penalties can be a lot more stronger and workable than any kind of a legislative law that controls them, not us. That has nothing to do with us, okay? So anyway, you need to understand this. Absolute immunity is we the people. Judges try to claim absolute immunity. The moment they step outside of their authority, the moment they step outside their jurisdiction, they have lost all immunity. As long as they're within their authority and within their jurisdiction, that means they're obeying the law and exercising it properly, they're immune to anything, any kind of a lawsuit or anything against them. They're just exercising the law. Don't go after them. If you don't like the law, try to change the law, the necessary codes and statutes and regulations and so on and so forth, if you're living underneath that. They've brought that into the people and put us under statutes, regulations, and so on. They had no authority. No authority. We need to stop them. And if people can't get the backbone to get up and do something, or the fortitude, or the knowledge to understand that this is what needs to be done, shame on you. But, you know, there should be enough of us to be able to take care of this. We need to do it. You need to understand what it means to be acquiesce, okay? You need to understand what is a common law record. What is a competency hearing, okay? Everybody probably knows what that is. But we need to know the difference between what is civil and what is law, you know. Lots of information, what's the duty of the court, equity jurisdiction, federal jurisdiction, expungement, extortion. What is the actual legal terms of these things? What is the actual law? What is it? What is extortion? To the detail, okay, and who is it applied to and how? It's in common law and equity. Extortion, fraud upon the court. Who can commit fraud upon the court? Who can you go after? okay? Frivolous defense, okay, that they love to use that term, okay? Infringement, indictments, malfeasance. I'm just skipping through a whole bunch of things. I believe I saw a number when I was doing this run-up. I got something like 450 footnotes here. Took years and years to collect this stuff. And every time I get something a little new on something, I'll drop it into that footnote and add on to it. So I have my footnotes up there. You can download it. It's a zip file. And when you start writing and you start using words, you go in here, you'll probably find words that you're not sure of, or the actual legal meaning of something, or the interpretation of something, or something the Supreme Court said about it, or whatever. You'll look at, you'll open it up. It's all in mostly notepads, but there are a few that's in Word. It's mostly notes, so anybody can open it. And you go in there and you open it up and you'll see a lot of different things in there that comes out to give you. It came from the United States Supreme Court, came out of Black's Law Dictionary or Bouvier's. It's in history. All the sources, okay? And you can use that to write your own papers. All of my footnotes, every footnote I've ever written is inside this list of footnotes. Okay, I've come to the point where I very rarely have to add a new footnote because I got a lot of it. And we've done a lot of research, a lot of battling. We've filed a lot of papers. So, you know, there may not be much more that we really need to put in here. But every once in a while, you know, we come down to something new and we have to do something. We write it. We start researching it and come to an understanding, come to a term proper to explain it or to produce it on the paper. And then we need to explain that and show the where we got it from, the source. All this is the sources, okay? Very, very powerful, very, very important. Everybody should work with this, especially if you want to write papers, okay? So you can download my footnotes. They're all up here for free, okay? It's part of the thing. You know, every year maybe I'll refresh it, and if I got some new ones, I'll just take out the old, put it to new one. I'll put a message out, updated download. Oh, I'll have a date maybe when I downloaded, last uploaded, put a date on it. So every once in a while, I may check on things and you see, oh, it's been updated. Some new footnotes, you can download them. Okay? Now, we also have the last part of the list right now here is jurisdictional findings. I didn't write that. It was a paper with a lot of good stuff in it, so I kind of just threw it up there. U.S. versus Williams, it's a case that everyone should read, and you should read more than once. We've highlighted in yellow, and the whole thing was almost yellowed out and highlighted. So powerful. It's what we're doing. It's all about us. United States versus Williams, extremely powerful. Written by Anton Scalia, okay? One of the greatest legal minds of our time. Fortunately, he's not with us anymore. They killed him. Yep, he was murdered, no doubt about it. Marbury versus Madison. If you haven't read Marbury versus Madison, you need to read it. Now, I wouldn't read it right away. I'd get into all these other things, get a little background so you can understand more of what they're talking about. Because U.S. Williams, anyone can read this. U.S. versus Williams. Anybody could read this anytime. Marbury versus Madison, you probably need a little bit of an education because there's terms and things in there that you don't understand. And, you know, I will probably write a paper on Marbury versus Madison later on and we'll add it to the book, you know. Miranda versus Arizona, if you haven't read that one, you need to read that case. It's a powerful, powerful case. Okay, we got some other cases in here. Martin versus Hunter, JJ, Eisner versus Macomba. Okay, now I'm not too familiar with those cases, but I've been told they were good cases. I should add them, so I added them, but one day I'll get through those cases. Then we have the Attorney General memo, which I just threw in this list. Probably should find another place to put it, but it's a memo by the Attorney General, I think back in the 70s or the 80s, concerning the income tax and the IRS and so on and so forth. And you can use the words of the Attorney General against these people. If you have a battle with the IRS or something like that, maybe in the near future, I've done a lot of research on that. I've got a lot of stuff on it. I'm not ready to post it, but one day I think I'll get it up here. Okay. So, again, you know, I went through all this because these are requisite to your understanding of what you're going to be doing with us if you want to join your case. Anybody who is not at this meeting tonight and wants to join this case, we're going to refer them back to listen to this program, that this conversation we had, or because we're now going to go into an open forum. We'll have this posted, and everybody needs to understand this. If you're going to be helped, you need to help others. You need to support the things that are important in life. You need to spend time reading and learning. Stop the tweeting. Get rid of that $1,000 phone. Sell it to someone and go get yourself a flip phone and use a computer at home and get off that crazy grid of, it's just a waste of time, in my opinion. I know I mentioned this last Monday, I think, or the Monday before. You walk into a Dunkin' Donuts or some place people having breakfast where they used to go to gather and talk and exchange information. You see people sitting at the same table, six people on a round table in Dunkin' Donuts or some place, and not one of them is talking to the other. They're all punching their buttons on their stupid phone. It's destructive, really. You know, I would have one of those phones if I was still in business, okay, in construction, but I'm not, so I won't even go near it. I don't want to waste my time. If I have something to say, I'll give someone a call. We'll talk. Maybe we'll sit down someplace, have a cup of coffee, and exchange information and ideas. Okay, with that, we have no Q&A open, so hopefully we're going to be able to go through this with people just unmuting themselves and asking a question. So anybody got a question? Star 6?
Yeah.
Bring it up. Here we go.
My name is Claude from New Jersey.
How you doing, Claude?
I'm doing okay. I sent my case into James, and I joined as a $10 a month member, and I'll send more if I can. I'm being evicted from my home.
Okay. Well, you need to act fast. Why are you being evicted? What for?
Foreclosure.
You need to act fast. I'll tell you exactly what to do real quick, okay? And since you're already a member, you're a paid member, you can go right there and look in the information, start reading all the papers, and then you can ask questions on a Monday night program, and I'll answer those questions. But you need to challenge jurisdiction immediately, okay? This is something, you know, I didn't realize and I didn't think about. I should have known this because I know about this, but I really didn't put it into, the arsenal of my thinking here. And now I realize, first order of business, you get in court, challenge jurisdiction. They got to prove it on the record. Now, if you read the papers, if you go out to that page I told you, which is under due process and then click in to get access, you'll see a whole section here for challenging jurisdiction. It's right up front, instructions and forms to challenge jurisdiction. Go in there.
Well,
Open up the form.
I've done a lot of things already, and they just ignore everything I do.
No. But you didn't do it the right way, because we've done it 1,000 different ways. And I was working with some individual. A couple of us were working with an individual in court and in family court. And we went for a whole year on things that in the town court and also in family court. And we challenged jurisdiction. You know what the judge did? He slapped his hammer on the bench and said, "I got jurisdiction. Let's move on." You see, we didn't know enough. We didn't understand enough. Now we know. We got some powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. Once jurisdiction is challenged, it must be decided. Decided. That means they got to look at papers. We're writing papers challenging jurisdiction. Someone, usually the prosecutor or the other people on the other side, they got to come in and rebut that and show that they can't show that they have jurisdiction. They don't. They can't. Okay? So someone has to do that. Now, who decides whether we have jurisdiction? Well, jurisdiction decision on a court of record must go to a court of record. They're not a court of record to begin with. And certainly that judge or that court already believes he has jurisdiction. Okay? So he's biased already. He can't make that decision. You can't slap your hammer and tell me I decided. No, you don't have it. It has to be proven, and it has to be proven on the record, and it has to be decided by a court of record, the next court up, which generally is the county court. Most county courts, I know in New York, county courts are courts of record, so that's where you can go. Now, once you go through that process,
I'm in New Jersey.
Well, whatever the next court up is, that's where you go, even if it's an appellate court. But they have to take it there. You're not going to move it there. That's up to them to move it there. You're challenging it. That's where they got to go with it. Okay? Now, if that court sticks up for this court, because there's a reason why they would or should. There's money to be made. They don't want to, you know, break the status quo and all of this stuff. Well, that's fine. If they don't do the right thing and obey the law and shut that case down, okay, then the next step is to move it to federal court for cause. We have that up here right now, instructions and forms to move your case for cause. That's at the federal court. That should be posted by our next Monday meeting. We'll have that up there because I got most of that done. I just got to go through it, clean it up, and I got some more powerful
information. I'm going to have to do this after I get it because I'm already renting a house. I have a home-based business. I have to move. I've been here 20 years. And I can't do this overnight, and I have to get Verizon in with 6 phone lines in the new place, and I can't risk my sole source of my livelihood with sheriff.
When you write your affidavit, you include that because you're going for damages too.
Yeah.
This court only when you challenge jurisdiction, and this court does not have jurisdiction. You at the end of the day, you'll win it, and again, you should then attach it to our case because we're taking it into the federal court too. We'll move it to ours, but when this court, whatever damages they've done, they got to restore you. That's part of what we.
What I'm hoping for, because it's costing. I got to go pay the real estate guy $6,000 for first security and first and last and then another couple thousand to move everything in the next
week.
Keep
a good record of that, and when you challenge your jurisdiction, okay, you also want to add in there all that information and then you not only because you do that in your affidavit. You
right.
get that information, what you've spent. You want to get into detail, but don't get lost, okay? And you got to make it.
I will do that. Just real quick, I know other people have time, but I did a complete administrative process on the family court judge and the foreclosing judge because they wouldn't answer me. I'm a private American national since 2016, and I did a contract with them. I said, I'm one of we the people. You have no authority. You can't proceed. Then I gave them a notice of a default, an opportunity to cure when they didn't answer. And then I sent them a notice of default, and I sent all that to James. It's very lengthy. It took me months and months. I'm a member of the Lighthouse Law Club. I wrote it all, and they ignored everything.
I should have told you that if you would, your oath of office
to support and defend oath or affirmation to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. Where's a proper warrant? You don't have it. They won't give me anything.
Without going too far into that, because we do have other people here and we do want to cover what we're covering, but I do want to make a point on this, though. We could have told you that they're going to not acknowledge. We've been through all that already. We did that already, so we already have experience, and we could pass our experience on to you. Unfortunately, you didn't come in time. You just probably found us or whatever the case may be. And right now, we've really come to really some things that are powerful now. All these things that we're sharing today here in this room today is extremely powerful. And we have a process and a way to move it. We're not going to stop. We're not going to give up. We're going to move it. We're going to execute it. People are going to get
I'm not only going to do what you said, but I also am interested in joining the effort and helping others. We need to make this our mission as responsible citizens.
Absolutely.
Of we the people.
And I'll talk to Jim and get a copy of what you wrote and take a look at it, and maybe you can help us writing, you know?
I'll do everything I can. My next 2 weeks, I'm stressed, and I got to get my home and business moved. But
when do you have to be out of your home?
June 5th.
Okay. Bear in mind, you can if you read through this stuff. See us on Monday to ask us any questions. And when I mean read through challenging jurisdiction, just print out print out all these forms, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then print out the instructions. Read the instructions, looking at each form as it refers to each form and how to do this. And then if you have any questions, you come on Monday and you ask us. If you file on Tuesday or Wednesday, guess what? You're not getting kicked out on June 1st. Once jurisdiction is challenged, it must be decided, and everything freezes. Everything freezes.
Okay, I'm going to spend my weekend. I have a free weekend, and I'm going to try to get some sleep and try to get this thing done. so I can file it on Monday.
Yeah, and then come and talk to us on Monday for other details we can help you with and maybe explain things that you don't understand. It will be helpful for other people, too. And then we'll take it from there. Meanwhile, when you challenge their jurisdiction, all right, you also should file your papers with us, and we'll get it into the case with us. That's a month away, though. That's in June, sometime in June.
Challenge the foreclosure docket and also the sheriff's who did the sheriff's sale. Both, serve them both.
When you challenge the jurisdiction of the court, you're really just challenging the judge, and the judge is going to have to respond to that because it's not up to the others.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
I don't think I was clear in the paperwork on that particular situation, but I will update that information maybe before Monday. Who knows? I'll put in the instructions.
All right. Okay. Thank you, John. I look forward to working with you.
All right. Appreciate it. Get a hold of Jim to get me the info that you gave him, and get a hold of Jan.
I already emailed him my whole administrative process.
Okay. And get a hold of Jan, and we'll try to get a meeting together soon. Maybe there'll be a few other people that'll want to kind of participate in this particular kind of a committee. And we'll take it from there. You know,
and
we're going to help people.
Send me anybody who's working in New Jersey, I'd like to join with them in the efforts as well.
We'll give you a list of people in your county and all the counties in Jersey if you want. You know,
maybe you might want to pick up
with the state coordinator there or work with the county organizers. But whatever, we'll get you a lot of information on your state. There is a place you can go online. It's under members, and you'll find all the state people in your state, everybody in there. You may not get phone numbers and addresses, but you'll see a list of people that are active that do put out their phone number, and then we can give you more information on other members if you want to contact them to try to work together on things.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay,
hello?
Anybody else?
Hello?
Who's that? Hello. Who's that?
Hi there, my name is Sean. I kind of just...
Can you get closer to your mic or phone because we can barely hear you? Your name is Sean from what state?
I'm in New York City.
New York City. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah. I just stumbled up on your website, and I was listening to a few of the audio lectures, but it's just a lot of information. And my situation is this. I have a paternity child support case, and I'm going to be going to court the end of this month. This is going to be my second court appearance. Now my issue is this. I want nothing to do with the child support agency. I want nothing to do with the state and having the pay to take care of my children through the state. So my issue right now is I'm trying to figure out how I can stop the proceedings. And the situation is I haven't signed the birth certificate for my two kids. They're twins. They're 8 years old, a girl and a boy. I haven't signed the birth certificate since they've been born. No particular reason. I just never, you know, it wasn't a question whether they were my kids or not. I just never got around to doing it. But at this point...
Are they your kids?
They're my kids. I accept them as my kids. I've never questioned the validity of them.
I understand that. I appreciate that. You know, I have children that aren't my blood. I accept them as my children, and there's nothing else to talk about. But I also have children who are my blood, so both, and I treat them all the same. But
aren't like stepchildren or anything. These are like my kids. I just haven't.
I understand. You don't want the state to participate in your what you need to do. Okay.
No.
First thing you need to do, and I would go in there with the papers ready. Get the papers ready to file for challenging jurisdiction. Have them in your back pocket when you go to court. Go into the court and say, "Look, I want to be reasonable here." Okay. You got lawyers for because they probably gave every kid a lawyer. You got a lawyer for my wife here, or my ex, or my girlfriend. You got lawyers for my children. These are my children. They're not that lawyer's children. I know what my duties are. I know what I need to do. And I'm willing to even put that in a paper. We'll call it a contract. and even file it in the courts that this is, or in the county. This is how we're going to deal with it. You work this out with your is it your wife or your girlfriend or ex or what?
Ex-girlfriend.
Ex-girl, okay. So you work that out with your girlfriend if you can. If you can't, you say, look, I'll get a counselor, my wife and I or my girlfriend and I, and we'll work our way through this so that we can actually talk civil to each other, and we'll make a contract and agreement and decide and discuss how we can take care of our children, what I need to do. I know what I got to do. I love my kids. I want to take care of them, but I don't need no court in the middle of this. So I want you guys to cease and desist, and then I will take care of my children and my wife, and we'll work it out. Now, they're not going to let you go. But that's when you slap them with the paperwork, say, well, I challenge jurisdiction. And here I'm filing these papers with the court right now. And Your Honor, I'm serving you with a copy of that right now. Make sure you have a friend with you to serve the judge. Okay? So here's a copy for the court. You can pass that to the guy, you know, the bailiff. And then you can say, and here's a copy, and don't touch it. Let your friend hold it out for the bailiff that you're being served, a judge, right now through, you know, the bailiff. And now there has to be a decision made. They'll move it into the Supreme Court. That's what you're expecting. You could tell them, I'm expecting this to be moved into the Supreme Court now. This is family court. I want it into the Supreme Court for a decision, okay, on jurisdiction. Now, there's a good chance that that state court is going to rule against you. But it's a pretty powerful paper, and it may ruffle his feathers, and it may not rule against you, okay? So that's the first way you go. If they rule against you, okay, then you file your papers in the federal court for cause. They'll continue to stop everything has to stop during this process. If this takes 3-4 months, there's no court dates for 3-4 months. Meanwhile, and then you get a copy of all the papers. We'll talk to you about, you know, getting your case, you know, connected with us and join with us if you want, and so on and so forth. But look at, meanwhile, to get a hold of your girlfriend, and can you talk with her? Is she civil with you? Or, I mean, probably not, because she's got you in family court. That was a dumb move on her end, too. Yeah. Look it. Get a hold of her and say, look it, I'm not going into family court. I do want to do the right thing. We got problems, and you may think that and this and the other thing, but I love my kids, and I do want to do something here. So you know what kind of money I'm making. You know what I do for a living. I understand where you're at and what you need to be doing. Let's sit down and work out a deal. Make a list. Tell her, make a list of the things you expect of me, okay? And I will make a list of the things I expect from you, which is 50% access, you know, have access to your children at any time, and as much up to at minimum 50% time with you, 50% time with her. Now, some men can't do that, so they may say, I can only spend 20% of the time, and you got the 80%. But you got to have access to your children. You got to be a father to them. You cannot have the state coming in telling you, I don't want you to talk to your kids unless you have someone there watching you. Go through all this stuff, restricting your time, charging you money. No, all that is BS. And you got to tell your girlfriend this. Say, look, all that is wrong. For the children's sake, and I know I've got problems, and I may, you know, get a little angry.
Here's the issue with that, is that it all sounds good. I could say all that. It's not going to be that simple for her to just agree to that, because what she's trying to do, this is based on spite and vengeance, because the issue is that she wants more money that I technically can't really afford to give her at this point.
All right, well, hold on. I understand that, but you got to get it on the paper. Here's what you do. If she's not willing to even discuss these things with you, and she wants to bring you into court because she thinks the court's going to give her the most, okay? Yeah, you deal with the court the way I told you, and you tell the court, look, if you guys have a counselor that you can refer to us, that we can go to, and maybe this counselor can bring civility between us so that we can work out our problems with our children, and my children don't lose a father, nor should they lose their mother. But as much as they shouldn't lose their mother, they shouldn't lose their father either, okay? So if you guys want to do that, fine. And if not, then you follow the paperwork through. Find a counselor yourself. I would suggest trying to find a Christian counselor, go through some, organization. But get a counselor, and then, you know, tell her we got a counselor. Let's go together. If she refuses to go, What you need to do is write a paper, an affidavit. And basically the affidavit is to her, to tell her what your intents are and what you're trying to do and what you've done, and the next step is up to you. Serve her with that paper, okay? And you could file it with the court, too. Even though you're coming out of the court, you can file it to the court and say, look, you can put this into the record because this is where I'm coming from. And
let me ask you this. Being that I haven't signed the birth certificate or the acknowledgement of paternity, let's say I refuse to sign it, is there they should make a default judgment?
Look, let me tell you something. Like I told you, I have some children that are not my blood. And when the father of one of these children was involved with us, okay, there were things going on that we had problems with, and we couldn't do anything about it. So we had to go forward. But he really wasn't interested. It was the grandmother who really wanted access to the children, not him. He really didn't want them at all. And they used the law against us on that level. But then when it was required certain things that were responsibility of the father, they came to me. I said, wait a second here. We went through this court thing here, and we got all this stuff, and he's the one, this, that, the other thing. Go see him. No, you're the one. You see, the courts will make it, whoever they can get, they'll make responsible. So, no, you're not going to get out of that in any way to think to get out of the court. And I understand what you're doing. You just want to get away from the court and deal with this in the right way. Go get yourself a counselor. And here's the other thing. You can go to the Supreme Court, okay, and tell them, look, I challenge jurisdiction. After you challenge jurisdiction, I challenge jurisdiction. It's going to be heard in this court. But I know that you have arbitrators here, okay? And this is a person who's not a lawyer. It shouldn't be a lawyer or anything. It's a person that tries to work problems out, almost like a counselor. Maybe I can talk with this, my wife and my ex and I can talk with the arbitrator, or maybe you can give me a very fair name to a counselor, or you got your own counsel, this is what you're doing, and then go through that process. You should be working on the problem even while you're waiting, and because that's going to even make it stronger for them to rule your way when the time comes. It'll probably be 60, 90, maybe 120 days before they'll hear your case on a challenge of the jurisdiction. And in that 120 days, you need to build a position that you're doing the right thing, and you need to document it.
So let me ask you this. Within that 120 days or so, if I go in there and I challenge jurisdiction up front?
What's that?
If I go and I challenge jurisdiction up front, meaning I put paperwork in to challenge jurisdiction,
right.
Will the case stop at that point, or will
they
continue? They can't
move an inch. And anything they try to do, anything that the court tries to push on you, restrict you, or make a decision on, you object. I object. This case is in – you don't have jurisdiction. I'm challenging jurisdiction. You don't have the authority. In the paperwork, it says that the judge doesn't have the authority to decide that jurisdiction because he already believes he's got it, so he's biased. He's not going to look at it any other way. He's already done. He's made his mind up. He doesn't have it. So, and if that's a problem – then you go over to the Supreme Court and you go to talk to one of the judges over there, okay? You can get access to them if you go in there and talk with the clerk and say, I'd like to talk with one of the judges concerning a problem I have in the family court. Usually judges may have certain cases to oversee in that family court because they're supposed to be overseeing them. But so they may say, oh, you got to see Judge Jones. You could talk to him about it. They're going to want to know what you want to talk about it. And if you lay your plan out, it's a good righteous plan that I'm offering for you to think about and show, bring to them. I think you're going to get a compassionate conversation from the clerk, seeing that you're trying to do the right thing. And that clerk may even, go lean over backwards to help you to get in as soon as possible to see the judge. And then you could discuss the problem with the judge. And say, look, I challenge jurisdiction. Try to do the right thing. These are my children. I'm being injured over there. I want out. They don't have jurisdiction. Now, that has to be decided by you guys. You're the court. You got to decide that. I understand that. Meanwhile, I challenge jurisdiction. The law requires, and it's in the paperwork, law requires everything to stop until that's decided. And he will enforce it. He's got to enforce it. That's the law. And if you don't get cooperation there, it's time to move it right into federal court. Because you already know the answer to what they're going to decide.
So challenging jurisdiction is the key to kind of stop it until I can figure out how to go about working the situation out with her.
Absolutely. And everybody that's going to ask this kind of a question on coming in and doing things, first order of business in your case, challenge jurisdiction. They don't have it. And if you think that they might, you can bring that up to me here tonight, or you can bring it up to me on a Monday night, and I will endeavor to show you how they do not have the jurisdiction so that you can walk. Look, knowledge is power. But knowledge that if you have knowledge and you haven't traced it down to the source to see this is real, okay? When you know it's real, when you got the United States Supreme Court telling you it's real, you got the law telling you it's real, you got common law, you got history, you got a lot of stuff showing it's real, now you got real power because you're going to go in there and talk with authority.
And that's what I want to do. I mean,
You don't need to be a lawyer to do this, and you don't need to be using legal terms. Use what's in that paper and other. And you're going to find. Look at, you know, there's other things. If you go into this page that we're looking at, okay, on the court forms, go through a lot of this stuff. There's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to support your position. I am going to write a paper. We're going to be doing a memorandum on family court. Maybe that'll be the next memorandum I'll work with. Okay, and get up here so that you can have it and others can have it for family court. And you go through this memorandum, boy, you're going to have so much meat in there. You're going to be empowered so much. And even if you have to read the paper, you're on it. The United States Supreme Court in this case versus that case says very clearly that this is what the you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I did this with a judge once, and the judge says, well, yeah, I understand that, but I'm going the other way. I said, so you're overruling the United States Supreme Court. And he says, no, I'm not overruling the United States Supreme Court, okay? But I'm making a decision here, and this is the way it's going to go. But, Your Honor, if you're going to go that way, you are denying the United States Supreme Court, which is your boss, okay? They're the ones, you cannot go outside of the criteria that they lay just as much as you cannot go outside the Constitution. They're interpreting it for you. They're telling you. Now, the judge is coming back at me. He's starting to get irritated. I'm seeing contempt on the way, so I back off, okay? And I did write a paper. It didn't really mean much, okay? But I didn't have enough knowledge in those days. So you got to be careful. You don't want to get them in contempt, where they get you in contempt. The best way to deal with a problem with a judge, I object, Your Honor. What are you objecting for? Well, I object because I disagree with what you're saying. Now, for the record, I want you to know I object. Okay, let's just move on. When you go home, write a paper. Make it as strong as you can. Use a lot of footnotes. You got a lot of stuff up here you can use, a lot of stuff. Make your footnotes, put it all together. And if you want some ideas, you come talk to us at any time. I'm here every Monday from 9 to – this is the kind of things we want to talk about. So come here and ask the questions, and I'll help you fill in the gaps of understanding or fill in some other ideas. Hey, go read this paper too because this will help you. And you get your paper, and then you file it in. Under objection, and now you got in the court, you've objected. That works for a couple of things. It helps you later on for the appeal. It helps you wherever you move this case, that paper is going to help you. And it's going to set the stage of righteousness on who's right in this court and where things should be going and where they are going. And you can move your case over to us, and we will be battling that with our case in support of all the people joining us. Because we're going to work hard to get this get this done. We also can potentially maybe work with a habeas corpus with you, but I would not go there first. I think you can solve this by challenging the jurisdiction. Be sensible. Talk to people. Go to the Supreme Court. Try to get your plan. Work with the clerk to see the judge. Work with the judge if he's workable with you. And really, you're just asking the judge. You're doing a couple of things when you go see that judge. Number one, you're asking the judge to enforce the law. Your Honor, you know, once jurisdiction is challenged, it must be decided and everything must stop. These people continuing. They need to stop, so I appreciate it. Whatever you could do to put the law down on them. You might even want to write a paper to the judge telling him that, you know, that you're having a problem here, that they need to deal with it. But also, you talk to him about arbitration. You talk to him about potential any counselors that he may know. Or you tell them about a counselor that you found that you're trying to get your wife into. Maybe we can get an arbitrator to work with your ex. maybe, Judge, you can help me get an arbitrator, because it's free of charge for that. Help me get an arbitrator, every court has one, that could help me work with my ex so that we could be civil. Not to deal with the part that you need to be dealing with a counselor. That you got to find other place. But to get to the point where you can have a civil conversation where the arbitrator can even make a decision, okay, and tell her you got to go, okay? And that could become an order right from the court. If you go into the arbitrator can make, remember, you don't want this arbitrator to decide anything more than to get you into counseling for the benefit of your children. Okay,
so,
and if she doesn't want to get into counsel for the benefit of my children, I want my children. Okay, that counsel, that arbitrator, can get to the end of the game, and if she's still resistant to it, he can put an order out, and the judge will enforce it, and she will go. And then you don't have to talk. She doesn't have to talk directly to you. She could talk to the counselor, because that's what we're doing. We're complaining to the counselor about our problems.
See, you're saying, try to prove to the court that you're willing to put the situation out with her in whatever manner. And if she doesn't want to, I guess, agree or go along with it, then they can look at it and say, well, okay, we're not going to, I guess, rule in her favor, is what you're saying?
Well, no.
Because
That arbitrator, if she agrees, the purpose of going to the arbitrator is to get her to go to counseling with you for the children. Not necessarily get together or anything like that. Just you have children, you share children. I'm the father to the children. I understand she's the mother of the children, but it's not being acknowledged for me. I want to support my children, and I want to spend time with my children. I want to teach my children, love my children, all these other things, and I can't do it. I'm here to arbitrate that. That's what you want to arbitrate. Once she comes in and gets into, now she has to agree to arbitration, but she probably will because she probably doesn't understand that she don't have to. But if she does go and you get in there and you get arbitrated, it'll be done in one day, probably an hour, maybe two. It'll be done in one day, okay?
How does that keep me out of the state, out of the state system?
Well, you're out of the state system starting with the challenge of jurisdiction, and there's other things we're going to help you with as you move forward. You're looking at 90 to 100 days before they can do anything because that has to be heard, okay? And it's not, I don't think it's going to move quickly through the court, but, papers have to be filed and motions and things have to go back and forth just on jurisdiction, okay? And then it has to be heard, okay? That could be 90 to 120 days. Meanwhile, you might be able to solve the problem through this thing we're talking about right now, dealing with an arbitrator in order to get into counseling for the benefit of your children. Meanwhile, you may be positioning yourself to the point of filing in federal court should you start to think, and I'd be prepared for that anyway, so you should prepare for that, and even write the papers and just have them sit there to see the decision. The next day you can slap the papers in, we're moving this to federal court. You shut them down again. When you go into federal court, that's going to be another 120, 260 days or whatever. And if they deny you there, then there's another process. It'll continue to hold it in limbo during this time of process, okay, so that this court doesn't destroy you. Meanwhile, you need to be doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing isn't a problem. It's trying to stop her. Oh. With this tyrannical behavior that she's going on with is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I understand.
I know what you're saying.
I'm just taking the point. You're building a case, though. Listen, you had 120 days to build a character case. You get another 120 days to continue building that character case. We can get you another 120 days because you're going to appeal it to a panel, and you're going to continue to get that, character case built for you. And you might even win her over at some point. She starts to see, hey, this guy is really trying to change and do from her position and do the right thing, and maybe I should work with him. Then you're going to get another more than 120, maybe 240 or 300 days, almost a year, because you're going to move it into the appeal system. And you're also coming around the horn if you're filing with us. We're pursuing your case, too. Okay?
Gotcha. So I don't want to hold you up any longer. So here, two things I want to understand.
Oh, so go ahead.
Now, this is all new to me, so I'm learning. I'll be learning as I'm going. So the first step you're saying is to challenge jurisdiction. Now, where would I find that paperwork on your website? And do I have to be a
family member?
That's not a problem.
Go to the blue bar on nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on due process, okay?
Uh-huh.
And when you click on due process, you come to the bottom of the page. Read the page very carefully. It's one page, okay? Then come to the bottom. It says click here to enter abuse of due process. You click there. Now you have all the information. First order of business, okay? First order of business is get into the consent of government course. It'll give you so much information. Look it. Let me explain something. I wasn't very good when I was young in school. I was more of a physical person than a thinking person. And so I was problematic. I dropped out, and I finished eighth grade, and I got into ninth, but I never even finished ninth grade, and I dropped out of school. Later on, I got my GED and other things and blah, 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 blah. I started to have certain interests, so I started to self-educate myself in many, many areas. I wear a lot of hats, okay? And all of those hats together combined brought me to a place where I think now it positioned me. I have a lot of the requisites for looking into law and different things and organizing and managing and all these things involved. So I started doing all these things. When I was younger, I had a problem because I was trying to remember everything. I never was taught properly, I guess, to think, you know, and look at things, but I was trying to remember things. I came to a realization, I only need to understand something. Don't go past the point if you don't understand it. Get out a dictionary. Look, research, dig deeper into the word, in the phrase. Get to understand it. When you get to understand it, then move to the next step. If you approach this with that kind of thinking, okay, and then you come to our Monday night meetings, you're getting fed. It's being reinforced. You're taking the course, you're being fed. It's being reinforced. You're coming to this page and working through the process to work your papers out. You can even, we'll work something out where you can send the papers to us before you even file them with the court, and we'll sort of give you a grade on it. We'll give you some corrections and stuff and send it back to you, and you do what you want. But again, you're doing these papers, you're involving yourself, you're thinking. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a day. It's going to be what's the name of that woman that was deaf, dumb, and blind? Helen Keller. You'll get a Helen Keller moment. Okay, she was deaf, dumb, and blind. And the person working with her kept working and working and working, touching her hand, giving her different signs, and all of a sudden, she put her hand under water. She'd done it 1,000 times, water, and spelt water on her fingers, okay? And all of a sudden, Helen Keller had this Helen Keller moment. And she understood water, okay? And then all of a sudden, she starts speaking with all these things that she's been getting. It's all in her now. See, it's been put in her, put, and all of a sudden, it connects and pow. My point is this. The more time you spend with something, reading, trying to understand, exploring, researching, writing, exercising it in the courts, and so on and so forth. All of this, at some point in time, will give you that Helen Keller moment, and you will then, it'll spill out of your mouth. You'll start to talk, and you'll say things, and you say, where the heck did that come from? I didn't even realize I remembered that. This is the way any education works. We don't have to struggle. Our minds and our bodies, we were created in such a way. This is how education works. Whatever you put into your body, that's where your power is going to be. If you want to have a good body, you put in all the right nutrients to try to stay away from junk as much as you can. It's the same thing with the mind. Put in all the good things, stay away from junk as much as you can, and you're going to have a healthy mind that's exercised in the right areas that you can go out and be great at anything you want.
Let me ask you this. The only way to get in contact with you for any questions or anything like that is via your phone conference calls on Monday or Wednesday?
Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight, and we'll have special times for meetings like this. You can come to those, or you can come to other meetings. We got lots of meetings going on. You can come to these type of meetings, and at some point maybe we can spend a little time privately talking. You know, look, if I see someone really interested in doing things and educating themselves, I will try to find time, a little more extra time with that person, even one-on-one.
No, I have, okay? I have no problem just taking this information in. I'm an avid reader. I love to read. That's all I do. Sit online and read all day about any and everything.
You're ready for success if that's your attitude.
That's always been my attitude. That's why I kind of was seeking out you guys. I wanted to speak to someone in regards to the website because I wanted to be able to kind of, like, you know, I have only a short amount of time before my court date is up, so I'm trying to shorten my learning curve. Reading is not the problem. I just need to know what information is prudent that I need to understand to be able to go
okay.
in there.
Well, look, it's Ron.
To be able to.
Ron, there's a guy named Ron. He's on this call right now, I'm sure, so he's hearing you, and you can go see Ron. Ron's with the Welcoming Committee. You'll find him up on the website under the directory. If you can't find him, call Jan. He's the national leader, and you'll find his name right on the top, a phone number and an email. Call Jan. He'll connect you with Ron. Ron will help you there. Also, most importantly, okay, you got to be working your case. You go to this page where the court forms and processes for the instructions under the due process and work through this. Get into the civics course. I mean, take the civics course, but that's kind of a back burner for you. You know, spend some time there, here and there, but most of your time you want to spend in your government by consent course. Get in there and work that real hard. And work the forms. Print out the forms, read the instructions, ask questions, and go from there. This is your education right here. This page lays out your main education. This is everything, okay? Open the book. I got the book in here. You'll find it under downloads. It says Court Procedure Book. Open that book and just breeze through it. You know, don't read it thoroughly at first. Just breeze through it page by page and look at the topics, maybe, you know, scan a few words, go to the next. And then you start to see some forms and charts and different things. Look hard at those things because that's really there for instruction to really bring this all together. And then get all the way to the end of the book, then go back to the beginning of the book and read it and study it while you're doing the other things, you know. You spend a half hour with this and then spend a half hour, an hour with that, and the next day you spend an hour here. You know, but get it all in. This is all working together. Okay?
Gotcha. So you're saying the first key is to download that paperwork, I guess, fill it out. There's instructions that explains, I guess, what it all means. I guess it's just entering your name into it.
Every section, when you go out there and you look at the forms, let's say instructions to file a habeas corpus, okay, you'll see instructions and forms to file a habeas corpus. Right there you'll see the downloads. One of the downloads is instructions. The rest are the forms. So you download the form, you print them out maybe, so you can look at them individually, and then you print out the instructions, and then you go through it. Now, you know, of course, you're going to have to print the papers out eventually with your information, but this is just to study it. And look at read the instructions and look at the information. If you have any questions on that, that's where Monday night will help, because if you have a question and I didn't have the answer covered in there, I'll make a note and I'll add it in those instructions. So you'll be helping not only yourself, you're helping me and helping others. So,
gotcha,
and then the next thing, everything there has an instruction for it. You know how to file a habeas corpus? We have instructions plus the forms. How to challenge the court jurisdiction, instructions, plus the forms. How to move it into federal court for cause, instructions, plus the forms. Everything, from beginning to end, everything. Now, I'll be adding more stuff to it.
That's a paid member section, correct?
Yeah, it's anyone who is a supporting member, okay? We call them a premium member. Okay, premium member means you're given $5 a month or more. So you have access to everything, and plus you have access to me on Monday nights. Eventually, soon, maybe we'll get together and spend a little private time together because I see you're very, very interested, and I want to spend time with people like that. And you'll find other people. Ron will be a very great resource to you, extreme big resource to you, okay? So when you get in touch with Ron, he's going to tell you some things that you may want to do and this, that, and the other thing. But the big focus on most of your time should be right here on this page and all these things that are coming out, because this is where you need to be for court purposes. But Ron can give you a lot of information. Monday night calls, and eventually we'll have some private conversation. Maybe it'll be two or three or four people having that private conversation because they can pipe in, or maybe they have similar things. So, okay? But let's move on to another person.
Yes,
you got your
John, this is Steve. This is Steve Renfro in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Yes, Steve, go right ahead.
This is Florida. I'm in Florida. This is not a judicial foreclosure state, but I'm still wondering if perhaps our couple of cases can be added to your grand jury
absolutely.
Court abuse of
absolutely.
Process.
Yeah, absolutely. Work the paper, fill out the form, get to the page, fill out the form, get it to Jim. You know, all that information is there, who to email it to. Get it to Jim. Jim will eventually contact you, and we'll look at your case and get some in. You know, I still have to work out with Jim some of the criterias here. But we'll look at your case. I can't think of many or any cases that we can't connect to us, but there may be certain cases we may not be able to take to work with. That's a possibility. I can't think of one, but I always have to say there might be something up that we can't. And we'll explain why if we can't. But I can't think of any. I can't think of any. So, yeah. And again, what I just had, this conversation I just had with this other gentleman, what was his name? Was it Sean? Does anybody remember? What was your name?
Yeah.
Sean. Okay. You know, if you listen, and remember, this is recorded. This meeting is recorded. You go up to our Monday Night Call page and look up for down to the downloads, the MP3 downloads. You'll find it up there. Probably later tonight it'll be posted, and you'll be able to download it, rewind it, re-listen. The call we just had should have answered most of the questions most of the people have. So all these cases really get to the same thing over and over again. It starts with jurisdiction. Maybe habeas corpus may need to be done, but let's settle for, if you're in prison, you don't want a habeas corpus. But, you know, let's start with jurisdiction because that can shut the whole thing down. Okay, you're moving into federal court, maybe the next move, of course. But maybe there's other things to be done before you go there, depending on what happens as you challenge it and where it goes in your state and next level. And there's appellate processes through this thing. And remember, once you're moving through these processes, challenging jurisdiction and moving up the line, this case stops. Your damage is being done to you ceases until this is decided. Okay, so that's an important point to realize. So any case that's going to be brought in with us, you definitely first order of business is not only fill the form out and start working to get that case connected with us, but also you want to be filing the papers and learning in the same place. I told the other gentleman, go there, get all this stuff, learn this stuff, and challenge jurisdiction. You should be doing that. Everyone should be doing that right away. If you're not challenging jurisdiction, you need to do it now. Stop the case while you're working out the problems, and we'll help you find another 120 days, another 120 days, another 120 days. There's lots of things we can do. We can keep using the court as you're really preparing for the win. You know, you don't have to worry about winning the battles. You may win the first, you may lose the first battle. You may lose the second battle. You move it into a court of record on the next level up. You may lose that battle. You appeal it to the next level up. You may lose that battle. Then there's another appeal up because the first order is a reconsideration of the decision by a panel. That's an appeal. Then there's the next appeal. Every time you work that appeal, you're looking at adding 90 to 100 days of protected time. And then from there, you move it into federal court. You're looking at probably 200 days of protected time. And meanwhile, you're working with us through our case, and we're hoping to get this thing done and completed and people in power by the end of the year. Because if we start pursuing this in June and laying these papers out, which is working out beautifully with the timing of what Trump is doing, a lot of people are going to be arrested. These judges are going to finally read the memo. They have no more protection. You see, they get away with what they're doing because they think they are protected. The deep state is – when you get a judge that's holding the status quo, the deep state is going to protect that judge at all costs, okay? They'll throw them under the bus with not a problem, without a thought, if they have to. But they want that judge there, that he's maintaining the status quo. That judge becomes to realize, I'm protected. Nobody can touch me. Well, once that's gone, and that's going to be gone this year, there's no doubt about it, he's lost all protection. He's in trouble, and I think he's going to get the memo probably this month when the arrest starts, because I believe this is the month of the arrests. They're happening. They're going to happen. So anyway, let's look into the case as we go along. Start learning and get that paper filled out, okay?
This is Kat from California.
Okay, go ahead, Kat.
Okay, so a quick question. I have your challenge of jurisdiction paperwork here, and I'm challenging, I'd like to challenge the jurisdiction of the IRS at this point. I'm facing them. They're sending me nasty mails, basically.
Okay, listen. Mm-hmm. Get a hold of Jan. And, yeah. And anybody else that has an IRS problem, get a hold of Jan. Jan will set up a meeting with just those people, a private meeting. And I don't want to talk to anyone that doesn't have an IRS problem. I may even ask to see the papers, some of the papers, to make sure I know that you have an IRS problem.
Yeah,
I'll give you a lot of ammo.
Yeah, my only question regarding the paperwork is really just the paperwork that I see is pointed to New York, and some of the references are pointing to New York, and that's what I don't understand, and I know I have to modify it, right?
Yes and no, okay? Listen, mm-hmm. New York is one of the original 13 colonies. Okay. A lot of stuff has taken place in New York, and other states have followed lead over the years. Okay, even though New York is a leader of destruction too, it also is a leader to solution, especially going back to the beginning. It was here in New York where we won against the Bar Association, who was trying to shut down habeas corpus and many other things. They were also trying to get rid of the juries, shut down the juries. Okay, and it was here in New York back in, I think it was 1939 and 1948 and a couple of times where we won the battles right here in New York, okay? Now, pretty much most things, when we add the New York stuff, pretty much most things are the same. You do want to look at your state's constitution and look for the issues that of concern, for instance, non-judicial foreclosures. Well, you wouldn't find that in the Constitution. But, for instance, court of records. What are the courts mm-hmm. of record? You'll find that in your Constitution.
Yeah,
okay?
I did, but it's just a one-liner. Like the one you have
it's
here,
what you
is,
need
I mean,
to know.
It's expanded. I mean, the one you have is spectacular. The one that's sitting in the California Constitution is a one-liner, basically, not covering what
that's
you're
okay.
covering here.
That's okay, but it still tells you what they are. Mm-hmm. Look, in New York's Constitution, it's very clear, okay?
Yeah.
State
mm-hmm.
courts and county mm-hmm. courts and only New York City courts. Or courts of record. Now they may have expanded that with some authority, but it has to be true. If you're going to call a town court or a village court or a city court other than New York City a court of record, that has to be true. Don't just call it that. Prove the jurisdiction. Again, it gets back to that. And once they don't even understand what a court of record is, so they can't even defend it. I have not met a lawyer yet who understands a court of record, with the exception, of course, of Brent, who's with us. But I have not met, because he's a lawyer, other than him, I have not met a lawyer who understands a court of record. They're so stupid and silly because they were never taught to think. They were taught what to think, not how to think. Mm-hmm. And some of them get beyond that and start to think for themselves. Some of it's destructive, and some well, it's rare that it's good, because they got a lot of false truths in their minds. But look at these people actually believe a court of record is a court that keeps a record. I mean, that may be the simple understanding and thinking of it. Maybe that's what people think, but when you look to see the definition of a court of record, it has nothing to do with that. That's not what a court of record is. A court of record is a natural law court where God rules and not the state. That's a court of record. And if they claim through legislation that a certain court is a court of record, you can challenge that through the jurisdiction, and when you see the response, you're going to prove to them that's not a court of record. You want to act like a court of record, let's get going. Go get yourself, first of all, let's get some untainted juries that have been orientated by the people and not controlled by judges and not controlled by prosecutors. And let's get those juries in here, and let me give a true, honest story to the jury. Let's get to the facts. We don't want any of these slick lawyers coming in with all these loopholes. They don't exist in natural law. Yeah, you know, you deal with the facts. That's why it's so much more powerful. The facts, you know, who was that? I think it was Lincoln. He was a lawyer, and I believe it was Lincoln who says, I don't care about the law or anything. You give me the facts, and I'll win that case. Just give me the facts, okay?
Yep.
And I think it was Lincoln. I don't remember. Maybe someone can correct that.
Appreciate that. And I just have one more question, and then I'll let you go. My secondary question is, aside from joining with your case that you have actively going, I've also heard that there's a second method, which is go through the U.S. trial courts and challenge the jurisdiction there. Is there a danger of doing that as well as doing it locally here? So I challenge it here in California and go through the U.S. court.
Well, you're in California, right?
Yeah, I'm in California.
Where's the court case, in California?
Orange County, California.
Okay. So, and is it a county court?
No, it's not. It's not. It's not there yet. But I'm basically being told in their last assessment that they're going to drag me into the U.S. court. Is what they're saying.
Oh, you're talking about the IRS?
Yes.
Oh, you got to stop that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, I'll have a private meeting with you and anyone else that has that problem. But but anybody that's going to join us, and even you yourself, minimum paperwork. I'd like to see the threatening papers that they sent you, at least the last couple. And so that's what I want to see. Get that to Jan, okay? And anybody else that wants to come into this conversation, get your IRS challenging papers into Jan, at least the last couple, the threatening papers. And then I will have a private meeting with those people to talk to them about some things that I know. Okay?
Thank you, John.
Powerful, powerful stuff.
Thank you. Thank you.
But again, listen, you're not going to be able to deal with the IRS in a court unless you control it. You must control it. And I'm going to tell you and show you how you can control it for a time under ignorance. You can be ignorant to control it for a little while. You could probably get away with maybe a month or two, okay? And then there's another process. You can get more time. But you need to get some knowledge. And the knowledge that you really need is what I discussed earlier with others, particularly with Sean. We went through all that stuff.
Correct.
Back and re-listen. It's on tape. Go get the MP3 and re-listen and follow through that. Get your education going.
Yes.
If you think you're going to go in and fight these people with a lawyer, I guarantee you, you will lose.
No.
You will not win.
Right.
You go in there and challenge and try to fight these people with the man on the land stuff. You think you can click your feet and you're going to be transported into heaven or something? Forget about it. It's not going to happen. Okay? Mm-hmm. They're going to destroy you there, maybe even put you in jail. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you need to get ahead of this. I'll show you how to get ahead of this, and I'll give you some thoughts and ideas. You need to get an education, and the education will prepare you for the other things that I'll tell you in the future in greater detail.
Perfect.
But you need to get that time to think. Okay?
Yes.
If they sent you a paper telling you that that there is, what do they call this when there's a lien? You don't call it a lien.
Notice of deficiency. I'm not there yet. They basically sent me
a notice of deficiency. You're not at a notice of lien yet. They won't take you to court. You get to the notice of lien.
They sent me an assessment, and basically in the assessment it's not only do they have my employer, but they have an employer that doesn't even exist. So I don't know. I mean, that information is wrong.
Let me ask a question here. How long have they been sending you the deficiency papers?
No notice of deficiency has been sent. They've only been sending me frivolous letters, and now basically fining me $10,000, $5,000. I have five plus running around.
Okay, you need to get them together, get all those letters together and the deficiency and to Jan, and then when we get together, we'll talk about it, and I'll explain something. Let me explain something. You do not want to ignore the IRS.
When they
send you a paper, you must respond, okay? You must respond. And it's tough to respond if you don't know what to do and you don't know how to research and you don't understand the codes that they use. Unfortunately, I had to learn the codes. And I don't know a lot of the codes, but I know enough to get me out of the trouble. What I found is whatever code they throw at you, you know, it looks real bad, and you say, oh, man, I'm dead in the water. But I'm telling you right now, be very careful when you read a code. You'll see references to other codes. That's the rabbit hole. Go down that rabbit hole, and you will start to discover things for you and say, whoa, this doesn't mean what I thought it meant. This isn't for me. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
No problem. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
May I?
Yeah. Who's next?
This is Daniel in Utah.
Daniel.
Yeah.
Give me 3 seconds. Well, go ahead. I'll just grab some water here. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay. I recently heard, well, just I watched a video talking about lawful money or lawful credit. But anyways, U.S. Code 12, Section 411, but someone is saying if you're using checks and you don't do direct deposit, you can write on your check, demand for lawful money, U.S. Code 12, Section 411.
This is demand for what? Lawful money?
Demand for lawful money is not taxable. And so if you're using lawful money in your account,
means,
it's not
that
taxed.
That means they got to get gold or silver. Is that correct?
No. U.S. Code, lawful money is basically it's credit that represents value instead of debt. But if you're using Federal Reserve notes, it's not called lawful money. It's called debt notes, basically.
What's the code number?
It's tender. It's 12 U.S.C. Section 12
U.S.C. All right.
Section 411.
411. Okay. And what I'm going to do, I'm very interested in this to understand what that is. I can't read that now, but I'm going to try to read that before Monday night program. And if you come to Monday night program, you can bring that up, and I'll tell you what I've learned about it.
And so as long as people don't do direct deposit,
mm-hmm.
they can use checks and they can write that on there, and so then that means it's not taxable. Another question is
Before we move to the next question, I just want to make a very, very important point here. There's only one kind of lawful money, and that's called gold and silver. There is no other lawful money.
I'm aware of that, but technically it's lawful credit, and lawful credit is just anything that actually upholds people's rights instead of violation of rights.
Okay.
And so it's just an accounting system based on rights instead of fraud and deception like treasury notes they would call lawful money, and those ain't taxed.
Well, treasury notes that we have out there now is not lawful money. It's monopoly.
Well, correct, but right.
I'll tell you what, they will try, if you go into the court and make certain positions concerning some of these things, they'll tell you, well, they may not tell it to you, but if you look deep into the paperwork as they respond to you to some of these things, you'll discover their position is really, when you're using our money, when you're using that almighty dollar, so they call it, or that $5 bill, or the $10 bill, or the $20 bill, or whatever, you're participating with them. That's what they'll tell you. They may not tell you directly.
Well, what I'm saying is in the corrupt system, there's two different forms of currency. And one is two different forms of credit. One is taxable and the other is not. Yeah, and they're both corrupt, but one's not taxable.
And that's explained in 12 U.S.C. 411?
Not completely, but it talks about it.
Do you know any other place that might refer to that conclusion?
I watched on a YouTube video, and I was a little bit familiar with that code, but they were just talking about the difference between like the Federal Reserve note and a Treasury note. And Federal Reserve notes are like a debt note, actually. And then because you're using debt notes, there's a tax due for using...
It is a debt note. And think about it this way. When this whole system collapses, the person with the most money is holding the most debt. They lose the most because it's going to be worthless. You see? So think of...
But those using the Treasury credit, though, are not paying the tax. Because they laws, they can't be taxed on treasury notes or lawful money.
I don't want to spend too much time on this. But
that's fine.
I have another
question, comment about.
Yeah, I'm interested in this. If you come in Monday's night meeting and bring this up, I'm going to look into this and see what I can discover under 12 U.S.C. 411. Basically, a lot of the main meat, a piece of meat, is in that section.
There's a good YouTube video called Lawful Money. If you just
look
that on YouTube. So my other question, comment is that these attorneys, they're supposed to inform you of the nature and the cause of the accusation. But if they actually did that, you would know how to defend yourself. So they purposely don't.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if we make a claim against the... I'm wondering if we make a claim against the attorneys for not following due process, not informing us the nature of the accusation jurisdiction...
We're going after the Bar Association, okay, because they are they're the ones that did all this. There's a conspiracy, okay? There is a lawful law written, okay, and it's logical. It falls into common law also, okay? And that is that anybody who teaches, okay, subversion is guilty of subversion. Okay, that's why they come
fraud,
at
fraud, yes.
Like me for these things, but I don't get involved in their courts. So. But look at that means, okay, that when these lawyers are hiding all these things, when these lawyers are teaching things that are not true or exercising things that are not true, they've been taught by the Bar Association. Now, they may be useful idiots, but they're not going to be held harmless because they're going to have to suffer some penalty for that at some point in time. But the Bar Association
tells
the people that are guilty of teaching these things that are unlawful, okay? And there's a whole array of things they teach. They have seized control of our courts. It is the Bar Association that has trained the judges and trained the lawyers that are running our courts. It is the Bar Association that has done everything they can to push the people out, to prevent the people from coming in, okay? And what they have done is they have cloaked the court in many ways, and they have concealed all courts of law. I don't know any state or any that I can go to where you can open up a court of law. There's no form to do it. Now, we have a way we're going to do it. We do have something that we're going to use to wedge into that court to open up that true court of law, okay? And so that's subversion. When they did that, they subverted the Constitution, okay? They've destroyed the entire court system. They've defrauded every person that walks through that door. Okay, so there's a lot of guilt there. Now, we're never going to get justice to all these people, but we certainly have the ability to put some of these people in jail and through indictments and taking them into the courts. And we also have the possibility of changing and get rid of this process and bring back true courts of law. That is what we are all about here. And that is what we're intending on doing this year, is to bring that to that pinnacle, to that point. Okay, and that's why we need everyone's help to help get the word out, to grow, to get us to that critical mass, because we're going to need critical mass behind us. Okay, we have 7,500 people, members that are with National Liberty Alliance. Well, we need to double and triple and quadruple that pretty quickly this year, and it can be done. Okay, and we're laying things out to do it, but we also need the people to help us do this, and we'll be explaining more and more on Mondays on how people can help us with that. But go ahead. I'll look into the law
on
as well.
Okay. You can also write a deposit for credit, lawful credit, and credit's not taxable. And actually, our currency is not money, it's credit, and so none of it should be taxable. So but within their own rules, credit's not taxable, and currency is credit.
Well, that's true. And credit is basically a write-off. We should be able to write off
It is a measurement of value, and how can you tax a measurement of value? That's just fraud. And so,
well, look, we have something far more stronger than that, okay? And that is ultimately that. Oh goodness, I'm drawing a blank on this. Hang on a second. Let me flip through this real quick. Oh, okay.
That
any kind of a tax, okay, on income is not lawful. That's in the Constitution, okay? You can't tax a person's income. Now, it's not written that way.
IRS doesn't even define what income means. And so they use this all capital name artificial person to pretend that that's you and you have no rights, no natural rights.
That's what the whole system uses,
based on the birth certificate, that you have no rights because they're using that all-capital name.
Their courts are courts of confusion, okay? You need to stay out of those courts of confusion. I will try to help people to think about it. And, You know, and again, you know, at some point in time, we'll get into more detail maybe on that. You know, look at the Federal Reserve is being shut down. Trump is dead set on getting that, shutting that down. And he's got everything prepared. He's even taken control of them at this point, okay, the banks, okay. And he in due time, they're coming down. They're going to be gone. And the only tax they're going to be able to collect after that happens is lawful tax. And we will be defining the lawful tax in our course. So everybody needs to take that course. But go ahead.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all your work. And, as soon as we expose the attorneys and judges that are charging these all capital name trust accounts, And put a stop to that. That's the main reason they're accusing people of crimes, is so they can charge their trust account and steal their credit for the retirement system.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that, and it all started to be constructed. It is what's called construction of law, and that started in 1871 with the Organic Act. I think it was 71. The Organic Act of 1871. That was, to my understanding, the first piece of legislation which is the foundation of really what they're doing. And ever since then, the legislators have been building on that. It's been coming bigger and bigger.
Corporate communism took over.
Right. And so we know that, and it's all a fraud. Anything built upon the Organic Act of 1871 is null and void. Even if it's a good thing in there, it's done, it's thrown out because of the, you know, the fruit of the poisonous tree. So,
amen.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. I'll
thank you.
Talk to you later. Goodbye.
Okay, all right.
John?
Hi. Yes.
Hi.
Who's that, Cindy?
Hi. Yes. Originally from Massachusetts. I really enjoyed what that gentleman was saying because, you know, he's like making sense, and I hope he comes back on Monday. But, you know, what I understand with the Bar Association is that they just covered the whole land with this UCC law, the C stuff.
Hold on, Cynthia. By the way, the next person I saw that was trying to say something after Cynthia was Montana Dan. So we'll take Montana Dan next. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Okay. Yes. And so anyway, Jan connected three of us together from the follow-up from one of last calls.
Yeah,
it went really well, particularly Jan and I have an interest in something having to do with the family piece, and you mentioned doing a memorandum. So I mentioned to her, because I think she was relatively new, that that NLA has done some work in that area before. So, you know, and she wasn't really familiar with that, but she has extensive years of advocacy behind her belt and has a lot of information. So one of the main things we were kind of concerned of is wanting to, you know, have a meeting with you or talk to you at some point, because she has all these wonderful ideas.
If you've got a committee going and you're communicating and things are going and Jan's kept abreast, you know, at some point, sooner than later, we should get together to discuss the committee, and we should get some other leadership into that meeting, and try to empower you as much as you can, and try to set things up with you, and pay, and I mean, do whatever we can to get things going.
Yeah. You know? Yes. Because what she and she made a really good point. You know, NLA has the long term view, which is awesome. We're all getting raised up and educated, and that's wonderful. But the people who are currently in crises, like how to handle that, you know, a lot of people who are going in, even advocates going into courts are getting punished. You know, you end up getting punished if you stand up for your rights. It, you know, it's getting that bad.
Well,
I can't
think of any case that we can't at least start to give people time with by moving towards challenging jurisdiction. You're going to get a lot of time. Now, let's say you get 120 days, 90 days, okay, of time. You need to be spending that 90 and 120 days of time educating yourself and preparing yourself. And if people don't do that, if we try to help someone and we assist them into, you know, getting that extra time and making that court stand still as they try to prove jurisdiction, and that court case clicks back in, and it's time to move to the next step, and they don't know how to do it, and they don't have enough of an education to really, you know, leverage that paperwork that we put together, then shame on them because they just haven't done their homework. Look at this is your life. Take control. This is what we're talking about. Consent of government is control of your judiciary and your political and your religious life.
Yes, yes, big time. You know, that gentleman with the child support, I mean, people really need to look at all the funds that generate how much the state gets if when they order child support. They get like three times the amount of what they're charging, you know. It's just horrendous. But the other question I have was, because I got on the call Monday, and you mentioned to write up a memorandum. I'm really playing about whether to, you know, be a part of the joint or not, because my situation was so systemic. I mean, it wasn't not only the fake foreclosure, eviction stuff, but it was also the fake probate, family court, and fake criminal court. The whole thing was fake, you know? And so it's all overwhelming.
Because of that, you can get it all back. And we are moving into a time period, you know, after the deep state has been arrested and things are really working there. We're moving into a different world now. And we're going to have a lot more power, a lot more ability to, you know, leverage the courts to the law. And so that's coming up. But meanwhile, of course, you have to study and prepare yourself. You know, that's the key.
Yes, yes. Well, one of the things you mentioned was to file, you know, challenge jurisdiction before, you know, joining, you know.
Well, you can do that simultaneously. You can do it at the same time. Yeah. You can challenge jurisdiction and get our paperwork in. Now, look, for people who are challenging the jurisdiction, and you get your paperwork in, we can hold it off if you want from filing it until the right time comes. Or we could file it. But I'd wait for the challenge of jurisdiction to go through and be lost. And then if you lose it, that's when I would push it this way to be filed.
Okay. I have no trust. I have no trust, you know, in this judicial system anymore. You know, so I'm wondering, like, if there's anything stronger than challenging, you know.
In our judicial system is very naive.
Mm.
That's an unfortunate problem, and that's the truth.
What do you mean?
Well, if anybody that trusts our judicial system that's operating right now, these courts that we're going into, anybody trusting them is naive. And they have no idea that they're ready to be poisonous snake.
I know. I didn't know that in 2010. And most people don't. You know what I mean? I didn't know that.
Right.
That's the tragedy of it all. But so the whole concept for me to challenge, to even go to these people, you know, to challenge. I don't know if there's something more than like a declaration or a notification.
You start off
to void out.
Look, as you push it up the line, you will eventually win, and then you'll get the decision when you get into the federal court. I can't believe that they wouldn't give it to you. I think they will. When you get to the highest level, you'll probably get what you want, which means they don't have jurisdiction, and you got to be very careful. Your wherefore clause of what you want, which we have a good wherefore clause, you now have to be brought back to where you were, restored to where you were when this whole thing started. And whatever that is, whatever damages that they've done, whatever they've taken away from you, all the money, the property, the house, anything, they need to give it back and restore it. You see, that's the benefit of the end of this process. And again, I want to say this again. If your house was foreclosed on you last year, and you've been thrown out of your house and you're living in a car or in a hotel or another house and you've lost your property and you've lost a lot of things and damages, and the court case is closed, done, and moving on. Everybody's taking the money. They all got their piece and they're gone.
Right.
This challenge opens it all back up, and they all got to come back and pay the toll.
Right. Okay.
So nobody should give up.
That's really beautiful. That's hopeful. You know, but
others, unless you got something, you know, focusing on this.
Yeah, the other thing is you mentioned to write up a memorandum, and I just wanted to ask you about that. Is that like a summary of, you know, what's going on? Or
when we write a memorandum of law on a subject matter, there's no more question in your mind or in the court's mind of what the truth and the facts and the conclusion is. There's no question. It's done.
Okay?
And so... we've written lots of memorandums. If you read through them very slowly, if any of those issues, any of those subjects can be used in your case because understanding the law that may have been, you know, used in your case, which is a lot of it, okay,
right.
You can now use that as your ammunition. It's undeniable. Look, it's self-evident proof is what it is. It's self-evident.
It's self-evident.
You can't argue it. I challenge anyone. We read one memorandum a week. Every Monday we start off with reading a memorandum of law, okay, and it's posted so you can come and look at it. And sometimes they get updated and changed. When we're ready to file, a lot of those will give a little tweak more and a little update. And if corrections need to be made, they'll be made, and things could be added, we'll add it. But generally speaking, you can use those memorandums. It's a knowledge. It's powers because you walk into court and the court moves in this direction on that subject matter. Well, I object, Your Honor. Well, what do you mean you object? Well, the United States Supreme Court said in the case of blah, 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 blah against blah, 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 they said thus, that, and the other thing. And, you know, how is it that this court is moving in the opposite direction than your boss is telling you to go? What's going on here? I object. I think you need to recuse yourself, Mr. Judge. As a matter of fact, you go home and you write a paper and you demand him to recuse himself because he's biased, and you lay it out and you showed him. I showed you the law. It made it clear. You decided to go the way you want to go. And I always talk in papers about they're looking to maintain the status quo. I'd bring that up. You're working for the powers that be, and you're maintaining the status quo, not the law. You need to leave this case. Recuse yourself. And if he doesn't recuse yourself, then you call for a reconsideration for a panel of judges to force this judge out. Now, those are things that I've just recently thought about. So we're going to start exercising that idea.
Right. That's going to be hopeful. I just want to also mention for us, you know, to kind of move ahead and possibly have a telephone conference with a little group. With you, how do we contact you? Is it through Jan or?
Jan. Look, I ignore most calls that come through. I can't respond to the emails. Occasionally, I do, but it's very difficult, and I'm so busy. So Jan sets things up for me and makes sure that everybody's in the right positioning. That people are moving. They got a plan, an idea. They worked some things out. They wrote things down on paper. Now it's time to come talk to me.
Okay, that sounds good.
National leadership is able to talk and deal with a lot of things, too. That may be just enough. Who knows? So you can, you know, talk to Dan. He can call for a meeting with other national leaders and work out things. And then if necessary, they come to me.
Okay.
And then we'll put a cap on it and try to give our ideas and thoughts to work with it.
To send something to you, because there's a really powerful document that I created last year, and I'm standing in faith on it, and it kind of is like a parallel. It's like a different process that I pursued, and I don't really want to get into it, but I wanted to just forward the document so you can see. It was filed in the public record. It's typed like 5 pages with tapped scriptures and things like that.
This is what you could do. You know, this is what you could do. You could get a copy to Jan, but get a copy to Gerard, too, because he may be able to, you know, he's got a lot of understanding in some of this stuff, and especially in those kind of papers that you would file. You know, we've been through a lot with that, Gerard and I. But he can comment on it, and then I'll take it, and he may say, hey, look, you got to read this. But I'll probably take a good look at it anyway, at least skim through it, if not read word for word. If it becomes very powerful in the skimming, I'll definitely go back and really examine it. So,
okay, it's really biblical, and it's a declaration for all men. Yeah,
that is important.
Yeah. Well, I'm standing and saying, Yes, and that's my whole thing now, you know, I mean, it's just, but I really want to, you know, build myself up in, with respect to the We the People issues and getting the Constitution and, you know, remedy for not only myself, but everybody else. So, you know, we can just kind of live and move forward in life and be free.
All right, well, all right, let's move on unless you have something. And you can bring these subjects back up on Monday. But again, with what you, as far as this committee is concerned, I definitely at some point get together with, I want to get together with any committee that's formed to give my thoughts, make sure we're doing everything that is compatible with everything else we're doing, and sort of give them the blessings. Gerard and myself to make sure we're there, but first we want to get the blessing of the national leadership to make sure, because they'll get rid of the and tweak it and prepare it in a way that should probably work, you know.
Yes. Well, I think the key, as you're mentioning, is the challenge of jurisdiction. I think a lot of the parents
and
housing courts don't really know that. So just really kind of bringing that home and educating people.
But
as
remember,
challenging the jurisdiction.
Challenging the jurisdiction requires an education, and anybody who challenges the jurisdiction, you got at least 60 to 90 days, maybe as many as 100 days to educate yourself, 120 days to educate yourself. You got to be educating yourself. Don't be ignorant because you're going to lose. You got to represent yourself. And I would never say I'm here to represent myself. You're in pro per. I'm in here in my own person.
Yeah.
You know, I would any other language other than in pro per. My name, comma, improper.
Okay, I hear you, yes. Okay, well,
okay.
Thank you so much. I look forward to future collaboration. God bless.
Right. You too. Montana Dan, I think you were next if you want to pipe in. You look like you're unmuted.
Thank you.
Could, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
hey,
I had my phone muted.
Yep.
Thank you for doing those memorandums. I have a couple of questions, but is it possible to do one on the vaccine issue?
You know, we want to do something on vaccines. We want to do something on food and the air, the water. And we do have some people. There are some people here in New York that are highly educated in this area. You know, take Judicial Watch. Okay, Judicial Watch is really laying the grounds for a lot of potential cases. They're gathering evidence and doing things. We're going to try to connect with Judicial Watch. We'll probably try to make that connection after we file our case and send them a copy. And hopefully, you know, they're not a bunch of lawyers. Oh, these people, they didn't get law school. You know, if they're not going to read our stuff, then that's that. We're not going to be able to work with them. But I think they'll have an open mind and see this. That it's time for the people to take control of the courts and everything. But we do, I would love, I can write a beautiful case against this thing to deal with these injections that they want to give our children and ourselves, the food problems, the high fructose corn syrup, the things they're doing with the chickens, okay? Used to take a chicken 90, I think it's, let me think about this. Yeah, 90 days from egg to slaughter, okay? And with this genetic, I forget what they call it, but the genetic work that they do on the chickens, these chickens now are reduced half time. And so you now, they're from egg to slaughter, it's 45 days, okay? Purdue chickens is one of the biggest ones. You'll see these Purdue chickens, they're big, you know, and they charge a lot of money for them too. But we know Purdue does this, and most of them, a lot of them do it. Any of these chicken farms that they do, you know, the big ones, they're doing it this way. They're doing the genetically modified chickens. But what's going into that? What's that all about? What does that do to our food to begin with? Okay, this is a problem, and we're getting all of these, you know, whatever they're doing to the chicken, we're getting into our body. Well, this is true not just with chickens. You know, wheat is a problem, genetically modified wheat, and we're all eating it. There's a book out there called Wheat Bellies. I think that's the name of it. Gerard knows about it. If that's wrong, he can pipe in right now and give me the proper name. But I think it's called Wheat Bellies. It was written by a triathlete whose wife was a triathlete, okay? And I don't know whether he was still, I think he was a triathlete also, but he's a doctor. And one of the things he noticed is that a lot of these athletes are going out there and they get some pot bellies. And you would think people running and doing all these different things, that they definitely wouldn't have pot bellies. And he did a research on that, and he found out that one of the major culprits is wheat. They have some things in there genetically modified that what it does is it's a poison, and I think it's a wheat poison. Matter of fact, I think it actually is a wheat poison that's sowed into it, into the wheat, genetically modified. And this stuff that they put into the wheat, what would happen is the bugs would eat it, okay, would try to eat it, and their stomachs would swell up and blow up. They'd just explode, okay? And now we're eating that stuff. Okay, well, it's doing something to us with our bellies, isn't it? Okay, how many people try to lose their bellies and they do try to reasonably do a good diet and do some exercise and they just can't get rid of it, and because they're still eating bread, they're eating wheat. This is a major problem. These people need to go to jail. So we're planning a lawsuit to deal with all of these things, but not right now. It'll be a step in. It could be maybe 3-6 months down the line before we get into this issue. But we will get into this issue and deal with this and go after this, the FDA and these big corporations with the high fructose corn syrup, the genetically modified stuff and all that stuff. But what we do need to do this is highly educated people who can be the special witness that has the knowledge, you know, the professional. And we do know some people. We just have to make some contact with them, and I think they'll work with us after we file our papers. Maybe that you'd see what we're doing in opposition and how we're leveraging things. They may have some faith in us by seeing that and say, yeah, these are the guys that can take this into the courts for us. So we're planning, hoping. Not right away, though. Dan?
Can you hear me now?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. Sent affidavits to like the county commissioners when they violate property rights. But I was wondering with the abortion issue, if a legislator violates or votes against protecting the unborn,
mm-hmm.
Is that something that you could do an affidavit?
We already did a paper on that. It's called Abortion, a Memorandum on Abortion.
Yes, and it's very good. But
and we also
did
something else. Let me take a quick look at these affidavits. And there was another one that relates to this. Give me just a second to run through this to see if I can find the right one. Let's see, Abortion Acts of Treason Amendment. What's the records? Equity Foreclosure Regulations. I'm not seeing it offhand. There is another one here where the United States Supreme Court has gone beyond their authority, and they have been making political decisions, and they have treaded upon the courts of law. And we made that position in another paper. And if you hit me on Monday, if I can't find it before tonight is over, hit me on Monday, I'll let you know which paper it is. But Memorandum on Abortion was one definite one to read. But what the United States had done with Roe versus Wade is they encroached upon God's domain. That is a decision to be made in a court of law. And what they have done is they have codified the legality of murder. That's what they have done. Okay? Now, they may not want to hear it. And a lot of women may not want to hear it. Maybe a lot of men don't want to hear it either. But let me tell you something. If we're going to get justice back in this court, we have to honor the judge of the court, and that's God. And I'll tell you, I think in this paper on abortion, I covered the facts of God's position on a baby in the womb. My goodness, I covered the fact of God's position on a baby 400 years before they were born. I think in this case I did bring up the point of going down into Egypt when Israel went down into Egypt, and they were 440 years to the day. And God speaks as them going down as four individuals, when only one of those individuals were alive at the time. He spoke as if they already were alive and part of this whole thing. But what happened was the one going down that was named, the other three, okay, were children and grandchildren and so on, down to the end, and coming out the other end was the last one, which I believe was Moses' brother. I'm trying to think of his name. Maybe someone can remember his name. And I think he was the last one coming out that was mentioned in these four individuals. So that's how God thinks, you know, before you were even born. Look, before the world was even created, okay, God knew us. He knew who we were. He says so in the Bible. And in the womb, he has a relationship with us, okay? In the Bible, this says this, okay? God speaks about wasting your seed, you know, and talking about the, which is contraceptives, okay? And there's a lot of things, you know, that God has. This is God's domain. This is the law, common law, the real law. The United States Supreme Court had no business to go into that case. That was to go into a court of law, issue by issue, if someone was, you know, having an abortion, and the most guiltiest party of that whole thing is the person committing the abortion, because they're the real murderer, okay? The other person is under stress and duress and other problems, and then they're now moving it to the next step, you know? But that was treading on God's domain. I'll tell you what, America has been cursed for two reasons. And if we didn't commit these two sins as a nation, as a people, collectively, I think things would not have been as bad as they were or have been. And if we're going to expect God to, you know, save us from all this, then we have to honor his law and recognize these things. But the two issues that have destroyed America, and Jefferson said, God's justice will not rest forever. He begged people to work on this problem, and they refused. And he started his first action in Congress in Virginia. Okay, I think it was in 1774, 75. He was a legislator, and he went. And his first action was to try to deal with slavery problems. So our big sin is slavery and abortion. Woe is us because of that. We need to repent of that, fix this problem, and move on.
Yeah, I guess my question would be, is if you sent an affidavit to a legislator that voted not to protect the unborn, if you kind of follow that up, and could you move it into this case, or is that, are we not
absolutely,
quite there yet?
Absolutely. If we can get someone to do some research, I will write the papers to move it into this case. The research necessary is really going in there to get the deep details, the conclusion, and the details of their motions and movement. I'd like to get an audio, video of their applauding this horrific thing that they've done, and then get a list of all those individuals that voted for it, all the individuals that didn't vote, because they're as guilty as the ones that voted for it, and a list of the individuals who voted against it. Those are the ones that I perceive as safe. I want to seek their removal from office, okay? They are in bad behavior, and they participated in encouraging and moving forward murder. And I don't care how you put it. People may think that's an extreme thought, and it's only because you've been tainted by the world and positions. I have had conversations with young girls, and I remember this conversation these two girls were having in a store, and they were talking about abortion and so on and so forth, and they were so for it and everything, and I started to lay the truth on them that, you know, and they just could not comprehend that that was an evil action. They could, when people cannot comprehend that the destruction and the murder of our children is an evil and horrible and horrific thing, they have lost their moral fibers. Their conscience, as God puts it, has been seared. We need to deal with this problem. But yes, I would love to do something with the legislators here in New York. We already have a case going in, and we're going to be moving our gun case into our case also. They still haven't moved on that because they're frightened to death to move on that paper. Okay, they know that an indictment's going to come down the line on that, those kind of movements against that, the Second Amendment, but because they're in bad behavior, and the Second Amendment is clear. There's nothing to discuss. And if you think that it's a problem, go back and listen to the original conversations and arguments and debates in the Federalist Papers, and you'll see exactly what our Founding Fathers was talking about concerning weapons. And if you read our memorandum on the Second Amendment, we lay that whole thing out. We make it clear, guilty of sin, said and done, period. These people are guilty of treason. Same thing, and most importantly with this abortion thing, these people are guilty of treason and murder. You know, I'm trying to think of the word, where they accomplished some kind, they've encouraged it and made it possible for the murder. We need to deal with it. So if you can work with us, maybe, and maybe get another one or two people and do some investigation to bring all this stuff together, and I'll work with you to help you where to focus on it. Maybe you'll know better than I do. I don't know. But then once I have all that meat together, yeah, we'll get this into the case.
Well, it wouldn't be New York. It'd be out here, out west here.
That'd be fine.
Is that okay?
That'd be fine.
Okay.
Sure. But they did the same thing out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In spades.
Yeah, we'll do. Well, maybe you can get maybe we can find one or two other people that might want to work on that committee. You know, just long enough to pull that information together. You'd probably do it in a week anyway, but pull all that information together, and we can deal with numerous states. I want to go against these people here in New York as much as any other place for, sanctifying murder and thinking that they can tread upon the court of law, and the king of that court, his name is God.
Okay.
It's court of justice. Okay?
Thing isn't quite as important as abortion, but
that's
maybe
true.
One
no,
thing at a time.
True. Well, I'm talking about abortion first and foremost. I'm just mentioning the gun case is also something we're going to pull in. But I do want to pull the
well,
abortion.
Well, I did do a affidavit objecting to their vote on property rights violations, too.
Yeah, and they really don't care. They really don't care. They're going to care.
Yeah.
There's a penalty to be paid, and that's what we're here for, to make sure a lawful penalty through a court of law is executed upon them. That's what we need to do, and then they'll care. And they can worry about,
okay.
You know, I think jail cell is made for that kind of person. I don't like to see anyone go to jail. I think jail is the last thing. I think 90% of the people in jail. Well, look at Judge Bork, if you remember who he was, or anybody who knows who Judge Bork was back in the early 80s, I think it was, with Reagan. Judge Bork clearly said, I believe he used the percentage 80%. He said 80% of the people in prison are there only because they opened their mouth. In other words, they gave them jurisdiction. My mouth to be open, I'm here for special appearance, for nothing else other than to test jurisdiction. And I believe you don't have it. I challenge it. I'm challenging jurisdiction. Shut them down in the beginning. And the more we do that, the more it's going to work in the lower courts. And once they realize and they get they read the memo has been sent and they haven't read it, right from Trump, I'm shutting down your protection. Well, they didn't get the memo yet. They will get it probably this month, and it'll be more powerful this month than it would have been last month. These positions. Okay, Dan.
Looking forward to see it. Thank you. No, I'll work on that. Thanks.
Okay, yeah. Get in touch with Jan and try to move that, motivate it. And anybody that's interested in working with Dan on that particular committee to help research not only state out west or states out west, but also New York, please get hold of Jan and he'll connect you with Dan and you guys can work together. And bring me all that evidence we need. And then I'll write the legal papers for it and add it into the case. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you for your work, John. And
Thank
Gerard
you.
And all of you.
Bye. Appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, anybody else got anything? Pipe in. *6 to unmute yourself. *6 to mute yourself back. Well, maybe we've talked enough to get everything out we needed to get out. I mean, look at probably the answer to most of our questions concerning what we're doing as far as joining our case was earlier on with some of the conversations. We had a long conversation concerning a case and education and everything. And if you rewind the tape and go back to that, you can kind of pick it up and get a little, get the things you missed. But we covered a lot on that call and that caller. And we also covered a lot on the very beginning to lay out the groundwork in order to be able to, deal with the courts and take control of the courts. If you are not controlling the conversation of the court, okay, if you're not controlling it and you're not, and you're on the defense,
you got a problem and you're losing. You got to turn that around. You got to control the conversation, and you got to put them on defense. And we got a lot of stuff to help you put them on defense, and it begins with challenging jurisdiction. But if you don't have the knowledge, that's going to give you a lot of time to educate yourself to get that knowledge. And then you can tweak that knowledge by coming to the Monday night meetings, adding a little more, asking a few questions, hearing the answers from some other questions that kind of, you know, tie it together and give you your unique moment that, let me think of the word, you know, can't think of the word. Anyway.
Epiphany.
Epiphany, thank you. Epiphany. Got to get your epiphanies. Hey, look, an epiphany is when you're working on a subject matter, whatever it may be, in this case it's the lore and our heritage, you know, history and government, and, you know, that's what we're working on. And more and more time you put into that, you know, you'll all of a sudden at some point in time, 2, 3, 4, 5 different things and conclusions you've come up, they come together, and then you have your epiphany, you know. I've had lots of epiphanies, and I know a lot of people who have had a lot of epiphanies, and that's what it is. It's really working. You know, God will teach us something, and he says that, you know, anything you want to know, I can teach that to you, and I will teach that to you. So you ask God something. I have asked God for things, you know, knowledge, and years ago, and I still ask for knowledge. But in certain areas, and you know, and I thought, well, maybe he's just not answering me. So, you know, I'm learning here and learning there. Well, he was answering me because I had to have some requisites in order to deal with the issue at hand, and I didn't have those prerequisites. And so once I got an understanding of this and an understanding of that, a little understanding of this, and then that, and it put, God answered me finally. I've had things, questions, and this is absolute truth, where 20 years waiting for an answer on certain things and got it. Because it took that long, it was a big question, big, big questions. I ask God a lot of big questions, and everything gets answered. There are some I haven't had answered yet, but I know he's working on that. So I can trust that because he promised, he said so. So, but it's the same thing with this subject matter we're dealing with. You know, you really want to get those epiphanies, and the epiphanies are the things that will win you in the court. Maybe the judge, you won't win the judge over if he's trying to take control and making a ruling on you. Maybe you won't win him over, but who cares? I don't mind losing the battle here and there and moving the case along as long as I win the war. That's what's important, winning the war. Okay, anything else before we close down? It is kind of late. We've been together a long time. This recording will be available up online probably tonight on the Monday night page. We can pick things up. And if we want to, people can request, and we'll have another meeting. I don't mind, maybe next week or a week after. But before, you know, people need to really digest what we spoke about tonight. We had a lot of good things here, so please digest it. Okay, any other final things before we close down? Something short, hopefully. I guess we're done. Okay?
Well, mine's short. Hello?
Go ahead. What's your first name and your state?
It's Audrey. It's Rochester, New York. And I just had a question. I don't know if it's going to take a lot of time in terms of a contempt of court. How serious is that? Because, yes.
Well, that's a good question. You know who can give you a lot of really good information, and he spoke about it. I'm trying to remember some of the things he said was Brent concerning contempt of court. There are certain restrictions in time, okay? Now, here is a major problem. Okay, here is a major problem for contempt of court. All right, the administrative courts, and they're all administrative courts. They're administrative because they're operating under statutes and codes and regulations, and they're applying those statutes and codes and regulations to us. They need to apply them to themselves, but not to us. And when they apply them to us, you know, they pull us into jurisdictions unknown. And that's why you can win these cases on paper easily when you challenge jurisdiction. And here's the truth of the matter. Any court that is not a court of law is a nisi prius court. That's what it is, nisi prius. Nisi prius means unless first. That's what nisi prius means, which means
Before you can be held in an EC Prius court, you must first agree to it. Anybody operating with authority and power, particularly in government, in an agency, or an elected individual, appointed individual, they, when they take their oath, and they now are coming in under the law to obey and protect and uphold the Constitution of the United States, they are now put themselves under the Constitution, okay, and they have agreed to follow the laws, the regulations, the rules, the statutes that apply to them within that agency or that job which is an agency too, I guess, is Congress. Congress, you know, there's law for them in one of the U.S. titles. And we do list out in our course and in the book all the U.S. titles and what their authorities are, and they're all righteous with the exception of 26. USC 26 has no place at all because that's nothing but fraud. There should be a US 26 applied, but it should be properly done and applied only to the commercial activities. So, but anyone that has raised their hand and took that oath and have come in, they've agreed now to those courts, those Nisi Prius courts. So they agreed first. When you go into a town court, village court, let's take traffic violations, okay, you agree when you make the plea. How do you plea? Well, I'm not pleading anything. I'm here by special appearance. They don't know how to deal with that one. You got to move in with a paper and get your paper to precede you, and then you come in and say, did you get my paper? Did you read it? Okay, I'm challenging jurisdiction because you don't have it. You move the court in that direction, or you move the court out totally if you have to, but you can move it through that direction. And so you're disagreeing. You're not agreeing. They have no authority. So here's the kicker. All Nisi Prius courts are administrative courts. All administrative courts do not have the power to fine or incarcerate. Maybe I should repeat that. All Nisi Prius courts do not have the power to fine or incarcerate. So they really can't put you in jail for contempt. But they do. There's nothing more dangerous than ignorance in action. And that's what these judges have the power, and they're ignorant, and they act, and they do things. And I, if I was put in jail for anything, they will eventually pay, okay? I will eventually get it done in the courts, and they will pay. And they'll pay, and I will require tenfold. If you put me in jail for 10 months, you're going in for 100 months. I don't want to know nothing. That's my wherefore clause. And I want to be restored, and you're going to restore me with a lot of money, okay? They act. They do whatever they want. These courts are out of control, and that's what we're about, and that's what our cases are all about. The pinnacle of our case, every case we've ever done, any paper we've ever written, anything we've ever applied, anything we ever chased anywhere in the courts has been done for the sole purpose of the day coming up, sometime hopefully, I think it'll be in June, sometime in June when we file the papers, everything was done to get to that point. You know, we've had people come and go with National Liberty Alliance. I've had persons say, you're not winning these cases and you're not getting anywhere. But they don't have the patience. They don't understand. They haven't listened to the plan. We do lay the plan out. Everything is a stepping stone. You know, we had people who were frustrated and wanted to act when we only had maybe 50 or 100 members. Well, we can only do so much with 50 or 100 members. We needed the thousands of members. We needed people before we can say that we are truly a grand jury here for to bring the peace and to bring this government under control and speak with the power and the authority as we the people. We can't just be a small group in New York State and some upper place, New York State, or here or there, or just in New York. We had to be, you know, we're going to talk on behalf of we the people. We have to be in every state of the union, and we are in every state. That took years to do, to build the membership, to get state coordinators, county organizers, and prepare the thing, get the education put in together, post all the information we have, write papers, and move up the line and keep going and moving. We're not worried about losing the battles. It doesn't mean nothing to me. What means something to us and should mean to everyone is to win the war. And we're planning on winning that war. And it's coming. That war is going to come to the pinnacle and the major battle in June when we file these papers.
So hopefully I answered that.
Well, yes, you did. And I don't even know if I need to comment or make the next question because that might take us over. But the other point to that, well, the judge, they made a recommendation to put those charges on me to as contempt of court because mm-hmm. I filed a Lynn's pendants and the judge went
okay.
in.
Go file right, right away. Go file right away, challenge the jurisdiction. What's the name of the court you're in?
It's in Buffalo.
What's the name of the court? Is it a town court, village court, or city court?
Oh, city.
City. Okay. Go challenge the jurisdiction. Start with that.
Okay.
Go to the page.
And what the judge doesn't want to do that.
He's going to shut him down and move. No. You're going to move it. You go, look it, you challenge the jurisdiction, go into the state court and talk with the judge, and if they try to, you know, give you a hard time and ignore it or whatever and say, look, I challenge jurisdiction. They're breaking the law down here. Can you please help me, judge? Talk to the clerk to talk to the judge, okay? And you know what? If they don't, you can't get any work, and then you have to immediately move that into the federal courts. Now, either way, when you do one of those two things, okay, and all the information to do that is up on that page, you know, where all of the forms are and stuff that we talked about. Okay, everything you need to do, it's this very simple process. It's just filing the papers and doing it properly. All the words are written. There's not much to do. The only thing you need to do is put in the names and the addresses and the places. That's it. And you move it in. If you move it in if you challenge the jurisdiction and it moves through properly, okay, then you're going to have, like I mentioned, maybe 120 days before they try to get to a conclusion. During that time period, you need to be educating yourself. You can't win if you're ignorant. Keep the slaves ignorant. That's why it was against the law to teach a slave to read and write. They had to be made ignorant. Jefferson was so broken over this, and he said, I can't free my slaves by just letting these people go. It's like taking your child and dropping them off in the marketplace and abandoning them. That's what he said about slaves, because they had kept them ignorant, and when they come to the second and third generation, this is all they know. Okay, and and I really am really, really angry with these people, these historians who claim that Jefferson is contradictive to himself, that he's in any event, you know, they said, oh, look, he had slaves, and he went and bought slaves, and he sold slaves, and he beat his slaves. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. You read these books, and there's accounting even of his slaves where people reported on Jefferson's slaves. And he had one slave that was, I guess, the house leader, you know, the one that ran all the slaves, okay? And he was interviewed, and they loved Jefferson, okay? And he cared for these people. And he said, slaves should not be put, you know, we're going to live with slaves. He said, slaves should not be put to be made to do anything that you wouldn't pay another man to do. Okay? You can't just, you know, you have to do the right thing here. But this was his position. Now, he never bought a slave in his life. People don't know that. He inherited slaves from his father when his father died, and then he inherited slaves when his father-in-law died. And he inherited a lot of land and a lot of slaves. And this was a huge community, okay? And they were very, very happy people. There's a lot of accounts of this stuff. But history, these historians, they're destructive. They deny it. They ignore it. And they write lies. Lies, lies, lies. It's such a shame. Jefferson's first act in legislature, I believe it was 1774 or 75, it was before the 76th Declaration. He was chosen as a legislator in Virginia, and one of his first movements was to change the laws concerning slaves. When he wrote the Declaration of Independence and said all men are created equal and so on and so forth, he spoke about the slave problem. He wanted to get this, but it was a problem. There were certain states that were going to fall out of the Union, and they argued about this, and they decided, well, we're going to have to put this off so that we can keep all 13 colonies in. No.
Jefferson was arguing against that, and that was our big sin. We should have said, c'est la vie, to the states that wanted to leave. When you're ready to be moral and do the right thing and get under God's rule, okay, and not man, okay, then you can come back and join the Union. Until then, c'est la vie, we'll be 10 or we'll be 9, whatever it is. But they didn't do that. That was the test, and they failed it, okay? Mm-hmm. That was the and our next test was abortion. We, you know, when I was a child, okay, I remember the abortion battles and discussions back in the 60s and stuff. And I was a young kid growing up, you know, and maybe I was 14, 15, listening to the adults talking, watching the news on these things. Not that I was focusing, it just happened I heard it, you know. And I remember, look, it was murder. My parents believed it was murder. A lot of people believed it was murder. I believed it was murder because that was around me. People who grew up to say, ah, this is okay, well, they believe another way. You know, train up a child on how they should walk, and they shall not depart from it. And if you're trained up wrong, there is an opportunity to change. If you're blessed to become born again and under the influence and the word of God, then all of a sudden he'll open your eyes and your heart and change you, and you'll start to see things in a whole new light. And it's a much more rewarding, happier, and harmonious life, you know, to live like that. With it. So, anyway.
Well, that's an education.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
Yeah.
Is that it?
One more. Well, just one more. I have more questions, but
one more. Make it quick.
Because he just wants to, he doesn't want to file the contempt of court. He wants to, they want to recommend that I pay all these fees because I filed the Lynn's pension and they stopped the sale of mother's home. They turned around and sold it. Now the agency is going to come after
me. If you challenge that jurisdiction, jurisdiction must be proven. The papers we wrote tells the judge exactly what his job is, what he can't do and what he can't do. It makes it clear in there. You cannot, you are already biased to this case. You believe
yes,
that I do have jurisdiction. I'm here because you believe that. And so you can't rule on this case. You're biased. This has to go up to the next court, which is the state court.
And that's
you
what I was
up to the next court.
Yes.
Huh?
To take it to the federal. That's what I told because he is already biased.
Right. To the federal, but let that court be moved. The papers are written in a way for that court to be moved into the next step up, which would be, of course, the first court of record or the next court of record up, which would be either the county court or the New York State Supreme Court. But it would be the Supreme Court because it's a city, and that whole city is probably a county, right?
Well, yes.
Well, let me ask you a question. What city was it again?
Buffalo.
Buffalo. Now, is Buffalo... is that inside more than one county, or is there more than city in a county?
Is that again?
What county is Buffalo in?
Erie County.
Okay. So it's in Erie County. So Erie County covers not only the cities, but it covers all of the towns and villages and so on. So who cares which one they move it into? Let them move it up into the county court. They can make a decision, and if they make the wrong decision, you can move it into the state court. If they make the wrong decision, you can appeal it to a panel of judges. If they make the wrong decision, now you can move it into the federal court for cause. Now, you can go directly into the federal court for cause, but I would let the process go through that process. Take its time. You have lots of time to educate yourself and be ready to do what's got to be and know exactly what you've got to do and get your damages also.
Mm-hmm. There's been plenty.
You know, the law requires, and again, it's in the papers, the law requires that if they, everything that court, when the ruling comes down that they don't have the jurisdiction, cease and desist, everything they've done has to be fixed. You know, wasting your time, you know, statutorily incarcerating you under statutes to keep you coming into that court, all of that stuff, okay, they have to restore you. And it could be either with money or the return of property, probably a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
And
because they went in, my dad.
Uh-huh. again, if they took your property 10 years ago this from this way or 5 years ago and you challenge jurisdiction today, it can still be challenged and you can undo everything and you can be, you know, restored with what you lost. Also, look at, you also lost things in the fact of being so many years without it and struggling to do what you got. There's a lot of damages that you've incurred, or anybody that has incurred that has a case that that has happened to. But move, look at the most powerful thing. You know, I had an epiphany on this recently. You know, I have not been teaching this. I kind of knew about certain things, but I haven't been teaching these things. And also I knew that people don't know how to challenge jurisdiction. And you know, and now I've come to realize how important this is, and I've had my epiphany, and this is the first order of business in any court case, challenge that jurisdiction. We've given all the tools and everything necessary to do that. Just go onto the page, get it, follow the instructions. Any questions, see us on Monday. We'll settle it, and you'll come to an understanding. Make your filings of paper and get your education now, because you're still going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, yes. Okay, that's good. Thank you so much.
Okay, we're going to end it. It's a quarter after 11. We've been on here for 3 hours and 15 minutes. I didn't anticipate that long, but it's okay. I think we had a good conversation. I think we've got a lot of points out there, and every one of us, we all have a lot of work to do. Let's go doing it. We'll see you next Monday, Lord willing, at 9 p.m. Eastern for our Monday night program. And we'll continue, and we'll probably have more meetings on this maybe as time goes on. But maybe this is sufficient enough to any of the new people can just listen to this, and, you know, they can then ask questions on the Monday program. But we probably will have some certain special meetings for anybody who does file with us. As time goes on, we'll probably call together a meeting to discuss things or look for things or that people need to give us and so on and so forth. Okay, thank you. Good night, everybody.